listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I remember when it all started. Back in the day when me and Mars first parted. High tech from the beginning, I stayed advanced. A young chameleon, adapt to any circumstance. Peep game, nigga, never been a lazy nigga. Stayed on my hustle, concentrate to get my paper bigger. Stay focused while other cats stay hopeless. While niggas stay high, I stay lower. Stacking my chips to get a foreclosure. This shit ain't over. Going for the gusto, keep getting that Provo. It's high tech and quality on the track like Flojo. I bet you ain't even know I have flow though. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to work, guys. Sorry, but you had to go back.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you know. I'm sorry that you had to do that. Your coworker's been asking, how was your day? How was your holidays?
I missed that today because I was off work.
What'd you do for the first of the year? Did you go anywhere?
You do anything?
You got any kids? What you doing with them ovaries later? That's right. They're going to ask it all. Did you get drunk? Get a little drinky? Oh, what did I do? Oh, just hung around the house with the kids, you know, beating my wife, you know, whatever y'all coworkers talk about. I don't know. I don't do that anymore. This is the Black Guy Who Tips. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher and we'll read them on the show if we like them. You can also go to theblackguywhotips.com. There you can click on stuff. You can vote in the polls, you can become a premium listener, bunch of stuff. Get access to some of our spinoff shows. We just recorded 3 new ones today. I'll have them out soon. But we're doing our off-season reviews. We finally started off-season reviews, where we review TV shows while they're off. So, like, you know, we review the first half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Flash, and Arrow today. So we still got some more to do, but we think people like that. I like that format better. A lot of times when I listen to shows that review shows weekly, they eventually all turn bitter against the show.
Yep.
Very rarely is a show able to keep a positive review of it
the entire run. Right. So they're going to be up. It's going to be down. It's going to be indifferent. So I understand people, you reviewing it, but you don't have a complete picture of what you're trying to see until you get to the mid-season or the season finale.
Yeah, it's human nature. And I think most people that tune in to review shows like the thing that they're watching. So most of the time they want to hear from people that enjoyed it or had a positive overall view. And a lot of times I think in the week to week, what gets lost is the positives, and it becomes more about setting expectations. And week to week, it's, you know, I don't like this, I didn't like that, or, you know, in a serialized format, you might set up a question in week 4 of your show and not answer it until week 8 of your show.
Correct.
Now, if I'm watching it in week format, that's a month.
Yeah.
But if I binge it, or if I already have watched it because it's been, you know, a month since the show stopped airing, it doesn't feel so bad, you know? So I think that helps, but anyway, we review shows that way sometimes for our TV fans. And we're also planning on doing Supergirl, and we're planning on doing Into the Badlands for those who asked us to review it.
Yes.
You'll get the off-season review format if you're a premium listener.
Yes, you do. And a lot of times I've realized when people do stuff like week to week, a lot of times they really do like the shows, but because so many questions are unanswered, like if you're listening to it kind of in the standard format, overall, by the end, they'll be like, well, I loved it. It was a really good show. But it's like when you listen to it week to week, because a lot of questions are unanswered, which are very, very valid questions, that a lot of times you're not able to answer them at the time because you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. So I think that helps. And also, you know, you have the narrative arcs with the stopping points and all that stuff set up.
Right.
You also can hear Balls Deep Sports, where may have gotten a little drunk.
I think a lot of people quite enjoyed it.
A lot of people have been quoting.
I got to go back and listen to the part prior to me getting home.
Yeah, a lot of people have been reporting back. with things that I said that I don't remember saying. So that's what happens, that larceny. That's why they call it larceny. It'll steal your thoughts.
It is so smooth, y'all. It goes down. I do mine with apple juice, but it's still smooth.
Yeah, we did ours with ginger ale, but we ran out of ginger ale very quickly.
Apparently so. Apparently. Justin didn't bring the 2-liter.
I think Justin was, I had ginger ale at the house. I think Justin was drinking more ginger ale than alcohol, because, I was in bad shape, man. I woke up at 2 a.m. and had hot flashes like a woman on menopause. I thought I was going through the change.
And this is why I make the drinks.
Yeah. It's not like this happens all the time, but.
No, it doesn't.
I was so hot, y'all, I had to put my top half of myself in the shower and play cold water over it. It was crazy. So just be careful out there with that larceny, guys. It's a motherfucker.
It'll sneak up on you.
Yeah, you gotta.
And it's so smooth. A lot of times you won't realize it until like later on, and you're like, "Ooh, wait a minute."
No, I didn't. Also, the official weapon of the show is
taser.
And the unofficial sport,
bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. Today's 383 for Bobby Shmurda. Damn. Mm-hmm. No New Year's, no Kwanzaa, no Christmas.
Mm-mm.
What happened to all the rumors that he was getting out? That just stopped.
Hey, cease and desist.
Every day somebody was lying on my timeline. Rod, at Rodimus Prime. Hey, did you see the newest link from hiphopamerica.dx? I'm like, man,
this link ain't real.
It's not a reputable site, man. Also, we're brought to you by Bevel. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com and use code TBGWT to get 20% off your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right. All kinds of stuff to talk about on the show. We got some comments in the chat. That's new. Starfire says, I want to say thank you for your comments on LeBron. It feels like he and Serena are always in the wrong for just walking outside their home and daring to exist publicly. But the thing that really gets my goat is a little bit of role reversal, because it's mostly black women who might get hate from our people and the black man who gets hate by white men. But it's switched around with these two. Let me think about that. It's mostly black women who might get hate from our people. Well, that's true. And black men who get hate by white men, but switched around with these two. So, oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, LeBron's getting a lot of hate from black people who are like, he's a coon Uncle Tom sellout. Because he said, hey, I don't know enough to be talking about the Tamir Rice verdict for this.
Come on now.
For this specific time. And yeah, Serena got it from mostly white males being like, this horse is the one who should have won.
Not you, black bitch.
What is American Pharaoh gonna do? He gonna kill himself, y'all. Mm-hmm. He was really looking forward to this. Mm-hmm.
He gonna eat hanging and keep it going.
Yeah, American Pharaoh's gonna be very upset. She says, the Twitter troll who made up the hashtag, his name is Tariq. He does this on a regular basis. And this is just one that stuck. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know him like that, so.
Me either, but yeah, we've seen him before and seen his fuckery before.
Yeah, no, not Tariq Nasheed. Oh. He's a different dude.
Oh, okay.
It's like Tariq Torre or something. I don't know enough about him to even have a comment.
Oh, now that dude I don't know nothing about.
All right, guys, let's talk about some news, okay? Remember the Chris Brown accuser who said she punched him in the face?
Mm-hmm.
No, he punched her in the face?
Yeah, he punched her in the face.
Well, apparently, according to TMZ and BallAlert.com, she has a history of accusing celebrities.
Okay.
Hashtag Lizanne Gutierrez. Whoa, why is that a hashtag, by the way? The woman who accused Chris Brown of punching her in the eye Saturday in Las Vegas is no stranger to dragging celebrities in the press. Over the summer, she subjected singer Jason Derulo to some very similar scrutiny. Back in August, Lizanne told TMZ that she was upset that Jason Derulo after he invited her to come to LA to party with him, but when it was time to hit at the after party, he wouldn't let her get to his party bus. However, her friend still went. According to Gutierrez, her friends left the party in tears after being subject to something bad. She says that Derulo tried to make them do things they didn't want to do. So I guess she low-key accused him of rape or something. I don't know. Something sexual, probably. When TMZ reached out to her Saturday to get an update on the Derulo situation, she didn't want to talk about it. In fact, she didn't want them to run the video again. Says she only wants to talk about the Chris Brown situation. Chris denies knowing Gutierrez, saying that she was likely kicked out before even making it to his room. Other fun facts, she recently attempted to attach herself to Rod Stewart. She told a Brazilian tabloid back in October that she and the rock star had been flirting at a Sheraton hotel. She says he gave her tickets to the show and they exchanged phone numbers but never called. She made headlines again when her home was robbed in November and burglars took $10,000 worth of merchandise. Among the items stolen were two Louis Vuitton handbags, a watch Tag Heuer, I don't know what that is, a Tag Heuer watch.
Must be something fancy.
A gold bracelet and a small grill and a Gucci wallet. Lemon Drop Pop says, well, she all over the place, isn't she? Rod Stewart, Jason Derulo, and now Chris, your friends left you to party with Jason and then got mad when they were treated like the thoughts they are. Who leaves they friend? Thoughts.
Spent
too much money on a night of ratchetness and got to pull an insurance scam to bounce back, or trying to party like a star bringing strangers in your home, got robbed. So Lusher says, oh dear, and the Fly Philly Diva says, Chris should sue her for slander.
It don't mean that it didn't happen.
I have no idea what happened there.
Right.
No idea. Good luck to everybody. God bless everyone. Speaking of people being upset by Louis Vuitton,
mm-hmm.
Jaden Smith is in the news.
Will Smith, little boy.
Yes. He is the new face of Louis Vuitton's SS16 women's wear campaign.
Make your money, dog. Get it.
That's right. Jaden Smith is fulfilling his fashion destiny and taking his daring approach to apparel to Louis Vuitton. The 17-year-old has just been announced as the newest face of the fashion house's spring-summer 2016 campaign. An Instagram post by the brand's artistic director Nicholas Gesquire. Shots of Smith were premiered. The shoot, snapped by photographer Bruce Weber, features a young actor, rapper, in pieces from Louis Vuitton's women collection. Which debuted in Paris at Paris Fashion Week. Smith's barrier-breaking sartorial choices have been buzzed about since he was first seen rocking a dress back in April. He has since worn the dress to prom, as well as a Batman costume to Kim Kardashian and Kanye West's wedding. In an interview with GQ, Smith discussed the motivations behind his fashion choices, marking them as a form of expression. I'm just expressing how I feel inside, which is really no particular way, because every day it changes how I feel about the world and myself. But I like wearing super drapey things so I can feel as though I'm a superhero, but don't have to necessarily wear superhero costumes every day. People got so hot.
I know they did. Leave that little weird boy alone. Because the thing about both of Will Smith's children, they're free, if that makes sense. And it's just one of those things where even Will Smith has even done an interview. He was talking about his children, and he said something that his children has taught him is just be willing to fail, be willing to go out on a limb, be willing to do something different. And if it don't work, it's okay, because he says that he's at a point where the pressure is just to always succeed. And he said, you're not going to succeed at everything. And he said, in order to get to the point where you succeeded, he said, it was a lot of failures before you got there. He said his children don't have those pressures and they're willing to do that. He said, but as an adult, you know, and original responsibilities and the success he has, he said it makes him view the world very differently. And my thing is this. When it comes to it, a lot of this is motherfucking racist. White kids named Apple and oranges and grapes and pears and everything fucking else can be as eccentric as they want to be and as hippie as they want to be. And we just let them be. I feel like these children are allowed to be as weird and as strange as they want to be. They're not hurting anybody and they're not harming anybody. Let them kids be.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird to me because I think the outrage feels so forced,
right,
on people's behalf, because they act as if he is threatening the institution of masculinity. And maybe he is. Maybe that is what is under attack, but I don't know why that's a bad thing.
Right.
Like, you know, I don't like, I think masculinity as a concept will survive one nigga wearing a dress. I don't understand. Yeah. Like, people just act like, you know, when we were coming up, I remember it was like, men are getting earrings. Oh, nah. And if you get it in your right ear, you gay. You know, like, I remember that coming up and being like, what the fuck would that mean that someone got an earring? Like, oh, well, now you must be gay. As if, one, there would be something wrong with being gay. But then, two, like, everybody with an earring is no longer a man. Like, yo, penis shrivels up, falls off, turns into a clitoris, and then, you know, your balls turn into vagina lips. Next thing you know, you're a woman. You can't help yourself.
And
you
that, and that's not true. And fat changes.
What you mean that's not? It's not true. Oh, okay. All right.
No.
I was confused.
No, I know a lot of men that got me left ear, right ear, shit, both ears. You know, a lot of grown men that you see on TV today. So, but you tell them that they're gay, they'll have a fit because they know they're not. Yeah. You know, and it's just one of those things where I think a lot.
And it's working, by the way.
Come on.
I mean, they did it so they would get the most attention.
Right.
You know, there's no woman they could have picked that would have got them as much attention as having Jaden Smith in a dress, apparently.
Mm-mm. Right. It got people talking. It got people looking. People are going to want to know what he's wearing. People are going to want to, you know, he's going to be talked about. Everybody's going to cover it. And it's just one of those things where if they ask him, he said, yes, I see nothing wrong with it. And this goes back to that masculinity so fragile. It's like this dude's masculinity has nothing to do with you at all. But for some reason, you feel like you need to speak on this boy's behalf, and it's one of those things where let him be whoever he wants to be. And same thing with his sister, because they come down on his sister heart too. Let her be whoever she wants to be, and if it's just strange or weird to you, just let them be, because them people, you will never meet them and they will never meet you. And like I said, at the end of the day, as long as they're not hurting or harming anybody, I don't mind and I don't care what these children are doing.
It's super scary too, because I mean, on the, like, I was talking, like, my boy Steve chimed in, and he has a son, and he was like, you know, why can't men just grow up to be men? And I was like, why wouldn't he be a man? Just because he has on women's clothing, he's not a man anymore? Like, you know, not to mention, I don't even know how he necessarily identifies, but the point being, I don't know, like, Kanye West wore a skirt. He didn't, like, turn it to a woman overnight. I don't understand. And you know, Steve has a son. He's like, well, I'll teach my son, you know, to take out the trash and to cut the lawn. I was like, okay, nothing's going to stop you from raising your son how you want to raise your son. I can't change anything about the way that you teach your son, what you teach your son in your house. But that doesn't mean anything. He was like, well, I was raised with man, take out the trash. I was like, yeah, but you do I was like you do realize single women been taking out the trash somehow, like
trash been getting taken out
without men around forever, dog. Right, like
that's the truth.
You know, it's not like people find a way. It's not necessarily for you to feel threatened by this, and it's very odd to feel threatened by this to me, because it's not really your business, and it has no bearing on anything to do with you. It's just and by the way, let's go equal and opposite. If he was on the cover of anything, any magazine, with his pants sagging, grabbing his dick, saying nigga out of his mouth,
come on now.
The same people would be like, see, this is what's wrong with this generation.
Christ.
Why can't he just, that? It's like this conformity we just have to try to put people in this box. And it's like, even this rich ass kid that will never, ever, ever be affected by his non-conformity. Cause he's rich already. There'll never be a time where he missed an opportunity because
now.
He was just like, I'm on some other shit. We want him to fit into a box because we're scared he'll spark the revolution that other kids will realize this is all bullshit too.
That and also I think personally, I might be wrong, but I think for a lot of black people, they're in a box, and a lot of people want to be out of that box. And because they can't get out of that box, they take that anger and that frustration. They throw them at other people because they are never allowed to get up. But you can step out that box at any moment you choose to. You just opt to stay in.
Yeah.
And I think the thing about it is that for a lot of people, they view celebrities from their life perspectives, and y'all don't have the same lives. So they view money and finances, they view certain things from a completely different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And they act like the way that they run their shit is the same way that they should run their shit. And a lot of times it's not the same. And it's like, because it's a lose-lose situation. Like you say, he come out there with dress on, people gonna complain. He come out there with baggy shorts, people gonna complain. He come out there with the shooting tie, you still have somebody else that will still motherfucking complain. So no matter what this child has on and his sister has on, y'all gonna complain. So the baby might as well be happy and live the life that he want to live, because he gonna hear y'all mouths no matter what.
It's just odd, because it's like, it's 2015, man. 2016. It's 2016 now. You know what I mean? Like, we are still living in a world where it's like, why women gotta wear pants? Why men gotta wear, you know, why do this dude wear a dress?
Shit, yeah, folks go out women working.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. It's like, right. How did we get here? But speaking of freedom, a Clark County man wants to give up his. He avoided jail time for having sex with a donkey, but he's now going to jail, and that's exactly what he wants. Gideon D. Schwarzentruber, 21, of Nielsville, was convicted in November of one misdemeanor count of sexual gratification with an animal. Schwarzentruber admitted to police he had initiated a brief sexual encounter with a female donkey. I like that he's like, with a woman donkey. Okay, I ain't no gay. I just likes to have sex with these animals.
And it was brief.
In a barn.
No long term relationship with the donkey.
She was a donkey off.
No commitments. That ass was good, but not enough to marry it.
He told investigators his privates were out of control and that he got crazy and carried away. Oh, that's sad when your privates out of control.
Yeah, he's like, I got a problem. I know I got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Lock me up.
Yeah. Pull over that ass too fat. The donkey's owner caught Schwarzentruber with the donkey, and he was charged in September. He pleaded guilty. What can you do, man? She had a donk. Schwarzentruber faced 9 months in jail and a $10,000 fine, but instead he was sentenced this fall to 1 year probation and counseling and a $443 fine. Why let him be back on the street? What was the good that could come of that if he's telling you I got an issue?
Right, and unless y'all gonna watch you in 24/7, that donkey is in the world full of trouble.
Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, however, Schwarzentruber was back in court when he asked the judge to revoke that sentence and put him in jail.
Oh, he's serious. He's like, fuck that. I know me. This ain't gonna work. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, lock me up, judge.
They obliged him and put him in jail for 30 days for a 30-day sentence. Why he asked for jail is not clear. He represented himself in court and has gone without an attorney since being charged. Clark County Assistant District Attorney Kara Strumbis, who prosecuted the case, told News Herald Media that Schwarzentruber did not stay in open court. Did not stay in open court. Why he asked for jail time. Okay, I don't know what that sentence means. Anyway, that's what happens, man. You get caught fucking these donkeys. You gotta get locked up, man. I wonder if that donkey was wearing a dress from the Jaden Smith conduction. Maybe that's the secret, man. That's what everybody's scared of. You know?
Dress will change your life.
Yep. Let's move to another borough. Speaking of not getting sexual consent, a Fox News host mocks campus rape hysteria, quote unquote. Women don't give repeated consent throughout sex, he says. That's right. They give it one time, and then anything after that, it's too late.
Right.
You know, you already did it.
So you can't be in the middle of it, and whatever act you're doing, you're like, I don't like that. No.
How can I stop? You already said yes. I'm confused. I have to keep going. Forever.
Recently, in response to claims that there's an epidemic of sexual assault on campus, and that can be debated, many colleges passed rules and some states passed laws that are supposed to protect by defining the consent that's needed before a couple can have sex. California's law says consent must be ongoing throughout a sexual activity.
Right.
That means, I guess, a woman must repeatedly say, yes, please proceed. I doubt.
They cut to a audience where it seems like a lot of women are in the audience and they're all laughing at this idea.
Many college students do that, and you young people in the audience are laughing at it, but it is the law. And it made me wonder how crazy this could get. So as a test, we invented a printed consent form that college kids would be required to sign before initiating sexual activity. And this would have...
Now, this is what's funny about this. It's a very serious topic.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already sillified it down to, we created a consent form that you would have to sign. This is not part of the law. This is not anything. Mm-hmm. Like... The law is fairly simple, which is if a motherfucker says at any point, stop, you gotta stop. That's really all the law is trying to convey. Not, first of all, women do say yes, yes, yes over and over. Some women do in sex. I found it weird that everybody laughed at that. But,
right.
But, also, it was kind of funny though that he took it to the extreme of, yes, this means she must, every couple, like every 10 seconds, she got to turn around and be like, this is still okay. And then you got to keep having sex, you know? Like, why'd you take it to the extreme? You got to have a form. You got to, like, it's not all that.
Because he started off at the wrong point when you talk about rapists up for debate. Says who? You, the person that did not once give me a stat or statistic?
He said the rape hysteria or rape crisis is up for debate. Either way, I mean, come on. Sounds like an asshole.
To be signed by the initiating sexual partner and the non-initiating sexual partner. It governs hand-holding, kissing, petting. We took these to one of the top-ranked universities in the country, Columbia University, where we assume...
So basically, they're going to do a conservative comedy bit where they go up to people and be like, isn't this ridiculous that a state will require this? And you're like, no state requires this. That's not what the state, you don't have to sign off on a side hug, you know?
No, and actually, it might sound sad for some people.
Maybe they need that sheet.
Right now, I know people bullshit about that, but for some people, it's like, hey, do you got an STD? You know?
No, that's not what's on the sheet, Karen.
Oh, what's on his sheet?
The sheet is, can I hold hands? Can we side hug? Like I said, they're making a mockery of it.
They are. You're not asking no real questions.
Yeah, it's not like anyone has a form for sex anyway, but I'm saying they're... Their thing is to take it to the extreme and try to make a joke about it. Not like this isn't a serious conversation in the first place.
All right. Because you don't take rape seriously.
Yeah. Anyway, I can't even really get too upset about this because it's like when Chris Rock would set up a let's go interview people on the street bit on his show. Like, this is anyone that takes this as the gospel is the problem, not even the show. Like,
right.
Clearly, they're trying for laughs here.
Some students would laugh at it. It was meant to be a joke, but few laughed. Most took it seriously.
Because you're not very funny.
And that's the thing. You try to do a comedy bit in an unfunny manner and then be like, y'all didn't get the joke. No.
Yeah, on the Fox News Network, like business news even.
You're not on Comedy Central, dog.
Yeah.
It's not an HBO skit.
Maybe you should have said like Eric Andre or Hannibal Buress out there. Somebody would have laughed.
Right.
That colleges involve themselves too much in what goes on in your sex life?
No, I think that they don't involve themselves enough.
Something needs to be done. I'm not sure. That this
they really were like, these two black... Excuse me. All right, sorry. These two black girls really said they're not involved. College isn't involved enough in their sex lives. Keep in mind, these same people that watch this probably think they should be able to get in black women's uteruses and say no abortions for you. Mm-hmm. I'm all up in your sex life. Get up off the birth control and have some babies.
Mm-hmm. Is the right way, but you know, I think that women need more protection.
They could come.
Why are they playing these people like they're so fucking crazy? I think women need more protection from a dude. A guy says that, and they're like, see, and out of control.
And the thing is, from the beginning, these people are contrary to your whole point you made at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you're playing them like they're so fucking out of sync. No, they're not. They're the people that you're talking about. Like, shit is happening and you're going, nothing's happening out there. All these people are, how can all these people get raped?
Oh my God. This is,
that just shows they're ignorant. And like I said, you're not funny, so no, nobody's laughing.
It's like they watched, like someone who's actually funny do one of these bits and they went, we can do it too.
Right.
We just will play everybody's clip like they're ridiculous because they don't know what ridiculous is. Mm-hmm. Their stance is the ridiculous stance of, look, why you got to get consent for sex? Just take it. And then it's like, okay, so we need to play everybody who's like, yeah, you definitely need to get consent and women need to be protected. And no, I think colleges need to be more aware of what's going on campus. And they're like, look at these fools.
I would hope that it wouldn't have to come to this, but I mean, at this rate, who knows?
Now, some women who I know would say, look, women get raped on campus.
Right.
What's the harm of these consent laws?
Well, I'm of the radical opinion that I want rapists to be put in jail, not kicked out of school. And we take.
Why are those things considered exclusive? Like they're not. Can't both of those things? Because if you send them to jail, they would be out of school. It's got to start somewhere. It's not like the campuses are going, we're kicking you out of school. Well, washed our hands of it. Nothing more to see here.
You go to jail, you get kicked out of school. That period.
Like these are laws. Also, there's campus police.
Right.
There's obviously the court of law. Like, but it has to start somewhere. What a lot of these people don't realize is that there's people who are able to rape people and stay on campus. Nothing's happening
at all, and they rape multiple people across campus.
Yeah, nothing's happening to these people. So. You got to start somewhere, and one of those places you start is kicking them out of school. In addition to, they will probably go to jail, or you try to get them to go to jail as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even if someone doesn't go to jail necessarily, if you can prove that they raped somebody, they got
to
go.
You don't need to be on my campus.
As a campus, it's my responsibility to get them the fuck out of there.
But students' body safety.
Right. What the fuck is wrong with these people?
The exact wrong attitude about how we handle this issue, and the affirmative consent approach is the worst of all. So California passes this rule that essentially means you are guilty until proven innocent. Oh, and by the way, you can't actually prove yourself innocent because by its plain
language, you tape recorded the whole event.
Yeah, you'd have to tape record literally the entire thing from beginning to end. And because if you only taped a portion of it, that wouldn't necessarily be ongoing consent. So.
That's
what the
also
fuck is
that's,
he talking about?
You know what? That's also funny too because this whole prove yourself innocent thing makes it seem like the idea is to make it seem like we're in a society where if any woman says I've been raped, society goes, throw that man in jail. We don't need a trial, we don't need evidence, nothing. He's going straight to jail.
Shit, what did you do? What are we talking about here?
Right, no, you don't have to prove that you were actually raped. Someone has to prove that they weren't raping you. That's the idea that he's trying to promote.
But that's not the reality.
Right. It's not the reality. Mm-mm. Like, when you have to get a sexual assault kit, and not to mention, if it's her word versus his word, majority of the time, you're going, like, that guy's going to get off.
Come on.
It's very difficult to, if there's only circumstantial evidence and she just says, he raped me and he says, I did not, in most cases, that dude's going to get off. Like you can, obviously, anyone can catch a bad hand, to catch the wrong judge or the witness that people identify with or something like that, that can definitely happen. But in general, if those two things happen at the same time, most times it's gonna be like, well, you didn't prove that he did anything.
You didn't know what really happened.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people don't even go to the court with theirs, because they're like, I can't prove this like a CSI case, so I'm not even gonna try. Like, I already know how it's gonna work out. Not to mention the social implications of accusing people, because most people are raped by somebody that they know.
Right. To take a rape kit, and we've covered stories that fucking sit for 30 years, that dissolves, that they might and never get tested, possibly thrown in the trash. Those rape kits.
Right.
Just an incredibly foolish idea to pass something that's so broad that it turns everybody potentially into a rapist and then just trust power only to punish the ones who are actually guilty. That's crazy.
And yet
everybody is potentially a rapist.
Yes, they are.
I'm
and,
not, I mean, and, it, that's a fact. That's not something you can.
For women, every day, like, yeah. I'll just say, like, every day I walk out my door and I see a male around me that I don't know, you could be a rapist. And that's something that men just don't want to admit. And I'm not, I don't give a fuck about you and your dick, but somebody else might decide to give me their dick and I don't know your dick from his dick. They all the dicks look the same to me.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, potentially anybody can be anything,
right?
The crime, the is not treating you as if you're a rapist to say you should get consent. If you don't, if you feel like consent is not a part of sex, you already are one of these rapey ass niggas,
right?
It's not like the fact this fight is so fucking stupid.
You say 1400 schools have these requirements.
Every school now.
And yet we do not have just jails filled with dudes going to jail for rape for some reason.
Yeah, like
all these schools have these requirements already, and we don't have 1400 universities full of men in jail because of this shit. Why is that?
Right. And like,
why is that? You know what I mean? Like, you talk a good game, but why is that? It's just so fucking fearful that something's gonna happen.
That and the fact that you say, like you say, and I've realized this too, you get to know enough women in your lives, eventually rape will come up. Like, they'll talk, and a lot of women have gotten to the point where it's been so long ago, and they've gotten to the point where it's so normal, quote mm-hmm. unquote, for most women, that they'll talk about it like you're talking about what's on the, what we cooking tonight, you know, because to them, it's just almost second nature now. But like you say, I know all these victims. We're all these rapists.
Right. Get the fuck out of here, man. Anyway, I'm not even finishing that clip.
Oh, no. That's just pure ignorance.
Yeah. I'm just trying. Man, it's amazing the arguments people use to promote this shit. Just, and I know a lot of it comes from this insecurity, that because it's like a lot of men's biggest fear is to be labeled a rapist, you know what I mean, because it's not it's something that you're not intending to do, or it could be a miscommunication, or it could be, but they never look at it as, this is my fear, what can I do to protect myself from this fear? Well, one of the things you can do is make sure you have clear consent. One of the things you can do is, you know, make sure you have communication with your partner, man. Like, no, don't put yourself in situations where you feel like it's gonna just be you know, this awkward he said she said shit. But people don't want to do that. It's like the privilege of being able to, you know, almost like try to force something to happen sexually is better and more important than the idea that someone has a right to say no and the right to protect themselves. It's fucking disgusting, man. But, you know, every day somebody, some dude is making some rapey ass comment or defending this with this logic, and this is the shit that keeps it going, man.
And I think for me, a lot of times, and you kind of hit on the nail before, a lot of this is property. Women are considered property.
Right.
So you should be able to treat your property however you want to and however you choose to. And if you want to rape your property, so be it. You want to beat your property. You want to punch your property. You want to misuse right. your property. You want to abuse your property. You can do whatever you want to, because at the end of the day, it's property, which means it has no soul. It has no, you know, humanity. And it's one of those things where, how dare you tell me that I can't treat my property however you want to treat your property? That's why when people got married, women were considered property. Your wealth was considered long years ago, how many wives you had, how many children you had, because a lot of that was attached to men's and their manhood. And it's just one of those things where men feel like they should have the right to do whatever they want to with their penises. And because society has taught men to, quote unquote, you're the hunter, you're the gatherer, you go out and get, they don't never teach men what happened if what you want don't want you. How do you respond to that? Because something about life is that little boys are never taught how to respond if a little girl tells you no. You yeah. know, they're always taught, be a go-getter, go get what you want,
be persistent, never right. give up,
right, be, you know? Yeah, be persistent, never give up.
And then
up.
They do the whole, not to mention the harmful, like, she don't know that she do that, she want it, you know, you got to show her, you know, these girls out here, man, you got to show them what they want. And it's all like right. all this hunter gatherer type talk that we give to dudes is outdated and mm-hmm. it's fucking harmful, you know, like
yes,
at some point
is.
We have to start treating each other like human beings, instead of one gender is like the fucking well, when it comes to heteronormative relationships, one gender is like the property and the quote unquote prey, and the other is a hunter, because a lot of those dudes that believe that shit are the same people that defend Bill Cosby and defend rape all the time. Let's see, what else are we gonna talk about? I did not mean to close that. Hold on one second. A Fox News guest, no, these could be burning news, says that the new Twitter policies, remember we talked about those, should be targeting ISIS and not conservatives.
They didn't say who they was targeting. Like their policy was like,
so you're the one that said, you know, will these behaviors get the right people and is it gonna catch people? Apparently Clayton Morris says Twitter's rules are targeting abuse and harassment on social media are vague and lacks any mention of the terrorist group. They won't specifically mention like ISIS, and says that it's so vague that you can really get anybody in trouble that you wanted to. The year the word skinny was declared violent, get over it, is violent. The word freshman promotes rape culture. You can pigeonhole anything under this new policy. Conservatives really are like, they really have white people problems. There's nothing left for them. Like, sometimes I'm like, man, white feminists don't have shit to talk about sometimes. But you're like, that problem is so, like, there's like, really, that's what you're down to?
Right.
Conservative problems are like not even on that radar. Like, it's just like, wait, you are upset because you think you're gonna get kicked off of Twitter for saying skinny? We know that's not gonna happen.
All right.
Like, we know that is not the kind of abuse they're talking about. Also, it's a social media platform you ain't got to be on.
Come on now.
Shit. Mm-mm. Oh man, these fucking idiots, man. You know, and not to mention, I know that they think, well, you're targeting conservatives because that's who the fucking trolls are normally.
Come on, the dogs and the eggs and the flags. Yeah. Right, right.
And the dog egg flags and cat avatar.
Real cats is another popular one. Yeah.
Put a person in your avatar, everybody. Everybody. Yeah. I don't care what you look like. Put a person in there.
Right, because I even tell people that hit me up that might be fans of the show or new on Twitter. I tell one of my buddies when she got on Twitter, she hit me up, and I was like, hey, doll, please put a person on your thing. She was like, why? I was like, because I almost blocked you because I was like, who the fuck are you? Because, like I said, my rules is that if you use that, that's very, very, there's some people that use eggs, but I know who you are, which is completely different. Some random motherfucker, I don't know who you are. Mm-mm.
Yep. So yeah, target conservatives. That's because you're the harassers.
Yes, you are.
If you weren't harassing people with your bullshit, it wouldn't be targeting you at all, would it now? Let's see, what else? Do I have any other? Oh yeah, Bill Cosby news. That guy back. Let me find some Cosby theme show music. Cosby theme, the Cosby Show by an orchestra. All right. That's right, he's back. He's in the news. Camille Cosby is rumored, this is like page six shit, no direct quotes or anything, guys. She is rumored to say Bill Cosby deserves the hell he is going through. Mm-hmm. Now, some people will be like, oh, she's gonna have to be deposed. She's gonna have to testify about, you know, this stuff now, because she was his business manager, and she can't just pull the I'm the wife move that a lot of people move. You know, a lot of people pull the, hey, can't make a wife testify against her husband, mm-hmm, and vice versa. But in this case, she's also his business manager, so the judge struck down her request to haul her impending deposition.
Right.
So apparently Camille wished to avoid testifying in the plan's defamation case, but not for legal reasons, but because it's so humiliating. This information comes from Page Six, citing an unnamed source, so take it with a lot of, you know, grain of salt. My husband doesn't deserve jail, the source claimed, Camille said, but he does deserve every bit of the hell he's going through now, even though he is still pretending that this hell doesn't exist. By the way, I saw this headline on Twitter and I said, let me guess, the jig is she's gonna be like, he was just cheating on me and I'm embarrassed with all this cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't got nothing to do with all this rape.
Nope.
She allegedly had been aware of his indiscretions, but simply demanded that he keep his affairs quiet. The unnamed source added that she has been thoroughly humiliated, and believe me, her anger isn't directed at the women. Bill has humiliated her, and the affairs he's had have gotten out of hand, and this criminal charge is him reaping what he's sown. Yeah, it's the affairs. Like the one with a lesbian woman that saw him as a mentor. Eddie Griffin has Bill Cosby's back. You guys might know him from Undercover Brother.
I wish people would just be quiet.
The only good thing he's ever done. He said, there's a systematic effort to destroy every black male entertainer's image. Griffin said in an interview with DJ Vlad published on Wednesday, nobody leaves this business clean. You're not going to die clean, he says.
Accuse you of rape?
These idiots.
Anybody accuse you of rape?
They always be like, women? They kind of get us all. It's like, so who are the other black men they try to get, please?
Right. Are you on the list?
Who are the other guys? Because you say they try to get them all.
All these other famous people with money.
Yeah. Bill Cosby's going to buy NBC. NBC wasn't for sale. No, he didn't have enough money. Unless NBC stands for niggas be caping, he wasn't about to do shit. And he already got NBC because niggas do be caping for some Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
He says the 70s is a different time. The 70s motherfuckers all had Coke spoons around their fucking neck. You go to the disco, the line is laid out on the damn table. When you want to level out after a hit of cocaine, you get a Quaalude. So did he rape these bitches? By the way, if your defense of Bill Cosby includes the word bitches,
come on now,
you're probably not making the best case you could.
Mm-mm.
I'm just saying, a lot of dudes that defend Bill Cosby be like, these unrapeable bitches. What does that have to do? What when do we get there, buddy?
All right, you got woman issues, you got issues with women.
You might have some issues yourself. Let's look at your Rolodex. All of them said the same thing. We went to the room. Why would you go to the room of a known married man? By the way, they did not all say the same thing. A lot of these cases are varied. That when you rape 57, or not rape, when you rape or sexually assault or molest or drug or attempt to drug or sexually harass 57 women, the stories vary.
Mm-hmm.
Not all these women were raped. Not all these women were sexually assaulted. Not all these, like, there's patterns. There's a process. He clearly has established certain things that he's known to do that are his go-to moves. There's a pattern of him being inappropriate. So he said, Griffin also made the argument that Cosby's philanthropic efforts over the years should count for more in the face of the disturbing allegations. The man has single-handedly sent a bunch of brothers and sisters to college, even if he didn't pay for it himself. He gave them the idea that it's possible. The motherfucker was so generous with his money, he bought colleges, and them some pussy, and then some pussy supposed to tear that down? Yep. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, I mean, at this point, yeah, I'd make the argument a lot of his philanthropy was to cover up the fact he wasn't shit.
Because
He bought a lot of people's silence.
Yes, he did.
Bought a lot of people off.
Yeah, he did. He even one dude basically came out and said, I didn't realize at the time, but I was the dude that was making direct deposits and shit like that. But yeah. I was just thought I was doing something else. I didn't realize I was quote unquote paying these women off.
Yeah, a lot of people that were supposed to stand for something, get up and speak on these things, haven't said shit because they did get money from him. So I can't, you know, this and this systematic the story of the black man bullshit is so ridiculous.
It gets on my nerves.
In this case specifically, because we're talking about a man who raped for 40 years and never saw a second of jail until last week. And that was long enough to post bail and walk the fuck out.
Right.
He's never going to jail. He'll never be punished. I don't even know why his defenders get so upset. They're going to quote unquote win. The only thing he's losing is the fact that we all know for now is public knowledge that he's been accused of sexual proclivities and assault and crimes 57 times. That's the way we know.
And those are the ones that we quote unquote know.
Yeah, that's the thing that you can't beat that.
Mm-mm.
But he'll beat the case. He'll beat the case. I don't even know why they're so upset. They're going to quote unquote win by the end of this. These women will never get justice.
Right. And why are you upset? What is raping this man raping these women got to do with you? Not a motherfucking thing unless you're defending the right to rape.
Yeah. Some of these people try to defend it under the guise of blackness and shit, but, you know, bringing up, well, what about Roman Polanski? Well, what about Woody Allen? Let's talk about them. Roman Polanski will never set foot in American soil again without getting arrested.
Ain't that the truth?
Roman Polanski fled America. And went to a place without extradition so that he can make his movies and never, ever, ever step his foot on our soil again. People say, well, no one cares. The feds care.
A lot of people care. A lot of people care. And the little girl is fucking grown now, but for some reason, everybody else has a statute of limitations.
Yeah, well, she was a child that he was accused of raping. She was 12 or 13 or something like that.
She's an adult now, right?
But my point being, you can't pull the, oh man, these, you know, no one cares that Roman Polanski did it. Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone cares. It's if you talk about him, you got to talk about that. That's what Bill Cosby is going through. He's not exempt because he's black.
Come on now.
You know, that's the thing. Like, Woody Allen. Woody Allen got honored at the Golden Globes last year. Wasn't there, I believe, but he got honored. Immediately, we start talking about Sun Yi and the creepy ass shit and then the Dylan Farrell stuff. Immediately. That scandal's never going away. He'll die. We will always talk about it.
Yep.
So what you're advocating for Bill Cosby isn't even some level of like equality to these other criminals who got away with their transactions but still somehow managed to walk these streets. What you're actually advocating is superiority to that because he's black. We shouldn't bring it up at all, and we should fight for him to never have it brought up, and also fuck those victims because he has way more victims, allegedly.
Right.
With all, you know, allegedly to all this, obviously. But still, he has way more victims. So what the fuck? Like, it's amazing the whole, you know, the people don't care. Y'all don't care when it's a white man. You bringing up people that we care about. Mm-hmm. Who are the people that don't care?
Who are these people? Right.
You know? Some people are always going to work with you. Some people are going to work with Woody Allen. Some people are going to work with Roman Polanski. But guess what? Some people want to work with Bill Cosby. And a lot of y'all that defend him, he would never work with your black ass.
Mm-mm.
So it's so funny to watch the quote-unquote loyalty from these people over this shit.
Right. And a lot of it's a manhood thing because the way y'all cape for Bill Cosby, you would never cape for one of the victims, or nor would you cape for a woman.
Nope.
The black woman, I would never see these people all up and down my timeline defending her and talking like this and being this passionate and can't fucking beat you off with a fucking broom because you talk about it to the all night and all long if I let you, but yet you would do this for this dude. A lot of it is that manhood thing, and it's one of the things that fucking upsets me, because yes, there is racism, yes, things do, race does matter, but there's some shit race ain't got a motherfucking thing to do with, and you're inserting race where race does not matter.
Look, I'm not one of the race doesn't matter or race da 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 type thing. I think race affects everything. I just think in this case, race isn't the problem. Like, it's just
not my thing.
It's not like you want to turn it into, like, it's so funny. They go, hey man, don't, why are you trying? They see, this is all a distraction from this and this. This is a distraction for Tamir Rice, and you're like, okay, it's a distraction. Well, let's talk about just Bill Cosby. Well, what about Woody Allen? You're like, well, isn't that a distraction? I mean, that's what you just said. Stay on topic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing, man.
Right. And yes, race does matter, but the crimes he did supersedes his fucking race. So that's why I said this instance, yeah, race does not matter.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm just being clear that, you know, because people are going to be like, wait, what? Race don't matter? Yes, race matters in everything. It affects everything, blah, blah, blah. If you really being honest, race for Bill Cosby has been an excellent way to hide.
That's because right.
Because he's bought a lot of goodwill from not just the black community, but through his politics and his speaking points, he's bought a lot of goodwill from the white community.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that he was called America's dad and not Black America's dad or African American dad,
come on now,
is because white people approved of his message.
Yes, they did.
Which was that if something was wrong with black people, it was black people's fault. That's what his show was. That's what his, that when he goes and talks and give these tough love speeches to black people, that's what he does.
Yeah, and he's been a funky, crazy ass old man for years. This has been saying just the most outlandish shit every time a camera's put in his face, and everybody goes, oh, Pops. No, he's been fucking insane and crazy for a very long time, but because he was quote-unquote adorable and you quote-unquote loved him, you ignored the crazy shit that he's been saying.
Well, nobody knew he was raping 57 women.
That's true.
I mean, I don't blame people for that, you know? There was a time, I mean, a lot of people love crotchety old man, blah, blah, blah. Oh, old black man. Yeah, if you knew he raped 57 women, you wouldn't think that. That's all.
Nope.
But the point being, you know, he was able to skate by. Racist helped him.
That's true.
It's helped him because he's been able to position himself as one of the good ones. And, hey, I don't let people say the N-word. I don't let my people cuss. If, you know, if an actress works with me and then she does something in a in a sexually provocative way, she's off my show. I don't fuck with that. Like,
yeah,
well, he's very respectability politics, and because there's so much internalized self-hate in our community, there's a lot of people that defend him that participate in the things that he hates because they're so indoctrinated in this idea that blackness is less than and it's worse.
Yep.
At any rate, he tried to tweet through it. Friends and fans, thank you, he said on Twitter.
I don't think he posted none of this.
And apparently a lot of people had comments.
I know they did.
Make a New Year's resolution. Bill, stop denying your horrendous crimes against women. Wow. What about all of us ex-fans with an ounce of common sense and respect for women? At Bill Cosby, I get the friends and the fans thing, Bill, but what do you say to the victims? Another person said, you're not welcome. Yep. So people were
kind of upset.
Yeah, you can't tweet through this shit, man.
Mm-mm.
The new Cosby case, quote unquote, that's being brought forth, mostly based on evidence that authorities already had.
Yeah.
Prosecutor decided at the time to not prosecute, saying that, oh, we don't have enough evidence. But now, obviously, the general perception towards sexual assault and the general perception of this case has completely changed that.
Mm-hmm. So when people go, well, why don't you come out? Yes, she did. The motherfucker sat on the shit.
Yeah. By the way, I love how he had to hobble in and need help with a cane to walk into this police station. Mm-hmm. But y'all thought he was going to buy NBC and have a sitcom on it by now.
Yeah.
This is the fall where his sitcom was going to premiere. 2016.
He sure would have been.
But suddenly he's a blind old man that can't even walk to the police station. All right, dog.
Yeah, he be good at blind.
Good acting. That's better than Leonard Part 6 right there.
Yes, sir.
That's almost Ghost Dad level acting right there. The end of Media Man. Yeah, so it's evidence they already had, but the DA at the time said, nah, we're not gonna do it. But now
they got a new DA.
Right. The old DA basically lost his spot, and the new DA was like, yeah, I'm looking into that shit. Like, we about getting this justice for victims. Like, it's not, you know, it's not a game. Yeah, Constant went to the police, but then Montgomery County District Attorney Bruce Castor said no charges will be filed due to insufficient evidence. Since then, with scores of women coming forward saying they were drugged and raped by Kazi, the case was reopened and reinvestigated. So what changed between then and now? Only District Attorney Reza Vetri Furman knows for certain, but the complaint filed by the DA's office provides a detailed outline of what prosecutors believe happened. It also provides a look at just how much of the evidence against Kazi was old and either known to the law enforcement already or until the Associated Press intervened, kept under seal by courts. What follows is based on the criminal complaint filed. It outlines how Cosby built a relationship with Constant to the point she considered him a mentor. He invited her to gatherings at his home that included the president of Swarthmore College and professors from the University of Pennsylvania. She went to his place in New York City to meet his entertainment industry contacts. Cosby also made sexual advances towards her twice, which Constant rebuffed. Sometime between mid-January and mid-February in 2004, Cosby invited her over for dinner, just her and him alone. That night, Constant was talking about how she felt drained and emotionally occupied. Cosby said he wanted her to relax, then left and came back with some pills. He said they were herbal and urged her to take them. These will make you feel good, he said. According to the complaint, the blue things take the edge off. He told her to put the pills in her mouth, wash them down with water. Constant did because she trusted him. Cosby also urged her to take a few sips of wine. Within 20-30 minutes, she said she had blurry vision and trouble speaking. She told Cosby he helped her get to the couch. He told her that he was going to let her relax. The victim described to the police the wide range of physical symptoms she experienced during the time. Said she felt lost. She lost all the strength in her legs. Her legs felt rubbery and like jelly. She could not see clearly because everything had become blurry and dizzy. She felt nauseated. She could not keep her eyes open, was not aware of any sounds, and had no sense of time and was in and out. Cosby did not sit on the sofa with her, but instead positioned himself behind her. Despite her impaired physical and mental condition, the victim was aware that he was fondling her breasts, put her hands into his pants, penetrated her vagina with his fingers. He also took the victim's right hand and placed it onto his erect penis. The victim told investigators that she did not consent to any of these acts and was unable to move or speak during the assault. She described her condition as frozen and paralyzed.
And that's what this drug does.
Right. Well, hey, you know, people just like doing Quaaludes, Karen. And back then in the 70s, oh, wait, it was 2004?
Yeah, they've been banned out the market for years.
After you bump a key of coke, oh, they didn't do any cocaine? It wasn't? Oh, okay. She woke up at 4 a.m. in her sweater, with her sweater bunched and her bra undone. Cosby gave her a muffin, walked her to the door, and said, all right.
What?
Yeah. You know how after sex you have to do people when you know, when it's very consensual and stuff. Constant left Temple in March and moved back home to Canada, where in January 13, 2005, she told her mother what happened, and the family soon afterward reported it to police. When the police found out, January 22nd, 2005, a few times after that, there are mentions of Constant talking to police. If any of these details are drawn from her civil complaint, the document doesn't point that out. After her daughter told her what happened, Constant's mother, Gianna, also called Cosby, leaving him a voicemail. He got back to her 3 days later. What followed was a string of conversations with Cosby in which the complaint said he admitted fondling the victim's breast, digitally penetrating her vagina, and placing the victim's hands on his penis for sexual gratification. He apologized and offered to cover any expenses associated with therapy. As for the pills he gave Constant, Cosby said he couldn't read the bottle label because of an eye condition, the complaint says, but he would write down the name and mail it to her. Yeah, he just couldn't. He thought he was giving her two Alka-Seltzer, and turns out it was a couple Quaaludes, and then, you know, he didn't realize she was going to get so sleepy, you know, but he still thought, hey, I'll grab these titties and masturbate myself with her hand, because that's what you do when your friends take the wrong medication and pass out. You know how it is, guys. He called again the next day. Gianna Constant recorded the conversation. Mrs. Constant reported to investigators that Cosby called her again the next day. And she recorded this call. During the conversation, Cosby asked if the victim was still pursuing her interest in broadcasting and expressed his interest in assisting the victim financially with any educational goals. So he's trying to pay her off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something he seems to have done before.
Right.
At one point, Mrs. Constant asked Kazi if he was going to send her that piece of paper with the name of the stuff or not, to which he responded, "We can talk about what you asked for later." Kazi was evasive on the subject of the identification of the pills and quickly redirected that conversation to travel plans for Mrs. Constant and the victim. Kazi asked Mrs. Constant if they, meaning her and the victim, would be willing to travel to a city so that they could have a meeting.
Why would you want to have a goddamn meeting?
He knew what he did. It's like, how do I make this go away? The next day, a Cosby representative called to arrange a meeting between the Constance and Cosby in Florida. The two women declined. Cosby representative provided a statement to investigators saying that Cosby had told him to contact Constance to arrange the trip. He added that he had made similar arrangements for other women on Cosby's behalf.
Right.
Wonder why. The statement was given February 4, 2005, and that detail about digital penetration, also from 2005, was factored into the charges brought yesterday. Not enough information, though, you know. 2005, police talked to Cosby, who said that he gave Constant Benadryl, but did not tell the victim on the night or any time thereafter the true identity of the pills.
I've taken Benadryl before. You don't have this side effect. If you did, Benadryl would be off the fucking market.
Right. Two Benadryl, and next thing you know, I'm passed out.
Benadryl does make you sleepy, but not like that.
Right. He described what happened as a consensual sexual encounter. If you give somebody Benadryl to the point of them passing out, how is that then a consensual sexual encounter?
It's not. It's just not. People don't know what the meaning of consent is not.
Right. Like, for all this frame-up shit, he admits to a lot of shady shit in these discussions. Cosby said their relationship had been social as well as romantic, and that he never had intercourse with Constant because he liked the petting and touching. When asked if he ever had intercourse with the victim, the complainant said, Cosby gave an unusual answer. It said, never asleep or awake.
What? This is a yes or no answer.
Right. Especially if, at the time, you don't know that they're accusing you of doing this to her while she's passed out. So he hit the never asleep or awake because he knew. He knew. Even without them telling him. He knew.
Right.
Cosby also told investigators that he had apologized to her mother, Constance's mother. The meeting in Florida was to iron out whatever these problems happened to be. According to the timelines written out in the complaint, all the statements and facts were gathered before February 17, 2005. The district attorney decided that they would not charge Cosby. So two things that happened between then and now. More women came forward, and the deposition from Constance's civil case were unsealed. And that's why they brought the case now after nearly a decade.
Mm-hmm. And it was who he was. People that act like who he was don't fucking matter, but it mattered.
Yep. Constant brought a civil case against Cosby a month later. Unlike the criminal investigation, which made almost no information about what happened public, Constant's civil action aired many of the details on how she said Cosby built a relationship with her, assaulted her, then tried to keep her family quiet. It also revealed that the many ways Cosby and his backers tried to make her story go away. It was settled November 8, 2006, and several depositions taken as part of the case were sealed. This year, after multiple women came forward saying they too had been drugged and raped by Cosby. By the way, in her civil case, she had 13 women then that said they had Cosby do this kind of shit.
Right. And who knows? These might be a separate 13 women from the other group, or it might be some of the same women. You don't know.
The sealed court documents were released thanks to the legal fighting of the Associated Press, which also tried to and failed to make the documents public back in 2005. The court documents included large chunks of the depositions, which later were released in full by the court reporting service that held them. A hold on releasing them further was placed within days of a New York Times story about them. Here's how the complaint discussed the release of those documents, which is nearly a decade old. Well, I can't read all of this, but yeah, point being, they had this info.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the civil case, they knew that, you know, there was all these women, because that shit was like in the National Enquirer and shit.
Right, they've been reporting on that beside Bigfoot for years.
Right. So and lastly, people keep this video is going around, and it's so funny. Mark Lamont Hill interviewed Bill Cosby, one of his lawyers that he's hired to spin this conversation about his rapes and accusations and stuff, to spin it. And she's a black woman, you know, goes on on the Huffington Post Live and basically defends Bill Cosby. Some, you know, a few people hit me up. My man Mike Brown from Comedy Outliers hit me up like, yo, y'all should have her on the show and all this stuff. And I was like, no, I wouldn't have somebody on the show to do this because I feel like it's very disrespectful to the victims. It's extremely disrespectful. Like, it's like saying it's the thing I hate about cable news. It's really what I hate is this idea of a tragedy happened. Let's dehumanize the victim further by let's argue about Trayvon versus George Zimmerman. You take George Zimmerman's side, I'll take Trayvon Martin's side. Not saying that's what Mark Lamont Hill did.
No.
For, you know, for the record. But I'm just saying her job. This isn't just some person. First of all, I've heard all these defenses from hotel ass niggas on Twitter and Facebook and shit. But her job is to spin it.
Come on now.
So literally, you're just providing her a platform to get the word out to spin this shit for Bill Cosby, who I believe did it. So I would never do that. Anyway, here's some of her, it's like 10 minutes long, I can't play it all, but here's some of her defense of, you know, Bill Cosby.
When you look at the actual stories, the actual allegations, that itself is a falsity. There have been some that have accused of sexual assault, meaning.
Also, I need to mention, one of the reasons people are sharing this video is because the title of it by Swopes World, who's probably some Cosby defending dude, he took it and changed the title to Bill Cosby lawyer owned Mark Lamont Hill in debate.
That's not what happened.
Right. Let's look at some of the titles of his other videos, guys. Why are educated black people called Uncle Toms? There you go.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, so he's
He wasn't like me then.
Another Bill Cosby lawyer, Monique Presley, owned CNN's anchor. Is this dude on Cosby payroll? I was kind of upset because I was like, Cosby paid this woman, but a lot of people doing this free.
Right. Absolutely positive free. Do an investigation for free.
Yeah.
A lot of work for no pay.
Yeah, I don't know why this dude is, you know, liberal Muslim apologist he's got on here. The Bible is not the word of God. Black Lives Matter is funded by George Soros. So people been sharing his video like it's the gospel truth. That's the nigga y'all sharing? Okay. Conspiracy theories, brother?
Sexual penetration or rape. Right. There have been some that accused him of grabbing their wrist strong or improperly. There have been some that have said, I was at a party and he bumped up against me, up against my breast improperly in 1976. There have been some that said, I was at a party and I think he put something in my drink and I either got away or I did.
How many have accused him of putting something in their drink or sexual assault of the 35?
I think that they would all consider that to be a form of sexual assault. Well, I'm not trying to mince words.
By the way, she don't know that number and she laughed because it would be ridiculous for anyone to know that number. Because when there's so many people accusing them, nobody knows the exact numbers anymore.
Nobody.
That's how prolific it is.
But that's not rape. So when people say 35 people have.
Let's take rape off the table for a moment. All 35, I just want to be clear for our audience, all 35 have accused him of sexual assault.
No. Some have said that it wasn't even sexual. I can't even keep track of what the actual numbers are because
half.
You go through 50.
Let's say it's half. Just for argument's sake, let's say it's half. I believe the number is closer to the mid-20s, but let's say it's half. Let's just split the difference, right? 40 women come forward, 20 say he did it. Why, given the fact that less than, according to the FBI statistics, less than 2% of rape victims offer false claims, and also given the fact that a relatively small fraction of actual rape victims come forward, the odds, statistically, of all these women lying are relatively low. Some would argue infinitesimal.
I really love that you brought up...
He said infinitesimal, but I feel you don't.
That statistic, and you brought up the study, because the variables that you would need in order for that study to apply to this case would be that you'd have to factor in a very wealthy person who's alleged as the perpetrator of the crime, and you would have to factor in things like prior relationship, and those are not a part of any of the current studies. You have to start.
So, her thing is... in these studies, unless the studies are solved for if the alleged perpetrator is rich and what the prior relationship is, those statistics don't count towards Bill Cosby.
What?
Yeah, so what we know as most women do not come forward with sexual, most victims do not come forward with sexual assault allegations. What we know with, you know, the majority, like 4% of the time, is it someone's like caught in a lie. What we know as, you know, this percentage of people, she says, well, none of that, the variables are just too much when you throw in his wealth. And now keep in mind, Bill Cosby ain't the only wealthy person in America. Mm-mm. He ain't the only black man in America. Mm-mm. He's not the only person with prior relationships with women in America.
Nope.
Somehow, it's only happening to him, though. Right? Like, this is the only dude that's been accused of rape 57, or sexual assault and various other crimes 57 times.
Refresh your screen.
They don't deserve to hear this, Karen. Okay. Now, give me a second, guys. I'll refresh. Sorry about that, everybody. Let's see if I can get back on the screen here. All right. And put myself back on. And here we go. All right, guys. all right. So back to her, you know, because it's very, Bill Cosby's like a snowflake, guys. That's why it's only happening to him.
Start asking things like, how many people of influence and means have been the victims of extortion attempts? How many women and men have been willing to offer up their bodies on a casting couch, have been willing to exchange sex for favors, have had remorse after doing so, and then accused someone who they believed they could get monetary gain out of and offered to sell a story. All you have to do is...
Now, see, my question right there to her is, how many?
Right. You don't even know. You're just
right.
Saying it just to rebut what I just said.
Right. Well, the thing is, and this is why part of the reason that I laugh at Serial and Making a Murder and shit, is the whole premise of all this shit is, as long as you can come up with an excuse for every individual situation, you keep skating on the preponderance of evidence against your client. So if the thing is, well, 57 women accused him of this, some say he drugged them, this and that, well, how many of those women were already drug addicts? She don't need an answer for that. She doesn't need, like, you don't even know the answer to that. It's just a doubt. It just makes you go, well, I guess I don't know how many were drug addicts. Well, how many of those women are just in it for the money and extortion? None of these women seem to have extorted this man. I mean, where are the rich ones? Where are the women that are coming up off of Bill Cosby? Where are the, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Andrea Constant turned down money. You know, like, this is like, what are we really discussing? But her point is to make you have doubt. That's it. That's all she, her job as paid by Cosby is to come out, deflect everything, make you doubt everything that's been alleged about him.
Mm-hmm. Open up the rag magazines. You can go to any grocery store and see that the numbers, when you factor in the person who's the target, change. And I'm digging.
By the way, this would also change if the person was a rapist.
Right.
If they did the shit, the numbers also change, which is also kind of funny. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, how many times has a black man been accused of robbing a store? You're like, that is, a lot of black men do get accused of robbing a store. Now, just because my client happened to rob 50 stores does not mean race isn't effective. They accuse black men of robbing stores a lot. That's right. How many cameras have black men on them robbing stores?
And my thing, they keep saying casting couch. What about women that do casting couch that aren't raped? Like, they, I know this is a casting couch call, and I don't have a problem with this.
Right. That's the other thing. It's like, oh, and the, you know, the, well, then they regretted it and then they accused him of rape. And that's really what it's all about. But her point is that it's common, right? Like, her point isn't that, oh, this casting couch thing is so rare and my client happened to just be the snowflake that got caught in this. Her thing is, look, casting couch thing, that's a common thing, happens all the time, right? How many of those women go back and accuse people of rape? Well, let's see. Apparently not many. Not 57 per person. We know that much.
Not per person.
We know that much.
Yes, your client, yes, it does happen, but not all the,
yeah, yeah, your like client this. Seems to really be having a lot of women decline.
Of course, as an attorney, and I'm not seeing.
By the way, that's the part that I think people miss. Hold on, let me play that.
And I'm not, and I'm digging, of course, as an attorney.
You can't skip over that.
Right.
It's her job.
This like, is I'm what not, she's getting paid to
I'm
do.
Not even mad at her.
Me either.
I think she is more acceptable than most of you niggas that are defending her, defending Bill Cosby on Facebook and Twitter and shit, because she getting paid. You doing it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Like a dumbass.
And I'm not seeing that variable included, because it's sort of obvious to me, if you look at the stories we've had over the past 20 years, that many people are willing to say many things in order to get
but
money.
Of all the people in Hollywood, of all the people who have millions and even billions of dollars, this doesn't happen to them. What is it about Bill Cosby that would have this number of women come forward? Hasn't happened to any. I mean, we haven't seen these other men. Even Mike Tyson, you know, we didn't see 46.
There's somebody that it happened to.
No, but we didn't see 40 people come through, or 35 people come through. The consistency of the story combined with the volume combined with all these other factors makes Bill Cosby's situation even unusual for people of his sort, does it not?
I think you should probably look at the source, you know, and that's what I say.
The source is... look at the source. The source is, these are women.
I say to people who are journalists or people who are transmitting the news and are actually interviewing people who are bringing accusations, that there are questions that should be asked. You should be asking, did you come forward on your own, or did someone seek you out? Did you come from a list? Were there plaintiff's attorneys who were out looking for anyone who had any involvement with Bill Cosby in the
point.
Past?
I spoke to three of them. I spoke to three of them. Two of the three that I spoke to came forward on their own. They weren't asked to. One of the three wasn't even considering civil action. Two of the three didn't begin looking for civil action. And they said that they were afraid to come forward. They said they were afraid because of Bill Cosby's power, because of Bill Cosby's influence, because of the fear that they would be castigated in the media. And it's only now that there is a sort of critical mass of people that they felt safe coming
Right, strength in numbers.
Yeah.
And I said, I was on News One, I guess it was day before yesterday, and one of the things that I said is that we have to remember, in terms of the allegations that were, that would have been coming forward in the late 60s and the early 70s, that Bill Cosby was still then, as he is now, a black man in America. And I find it incredible to believe that none of the majority.
By the way, now, you know, gotta put a race card out, because he hit her with a bunch of common sense. It's like, oh, he's a black man. No, come on, everything you just said is invalid, even though you just said that these women aren't coming forward civilly and they're not trying to get money. Let's get back to the fact that he's black.
Mm-hmm. Critical mass of people that they felt safe coming
right
forward.
Strength in numbers.
Yeah.
And I said, I was on News One, I guess it was day before yesterday, and one of the
by the way, this is why I could never be a defense attorney. I could never do it. Yo, I can't make this argument and sleep at night. Like, she's really good, you know what I mean?
Because money's nice.
Yeah, you know, the money gotta feel good, you know, because I like, especially as a woman, you know, this is like when you see black Republicans go, black people are on the Democratic plantation, you're like, ew, how much are you making to say this? Mm-hmm. You know, like, as a woman to basically be like, these victims ain't coming forward enough, and let's be honest, it was bad for black men back then. It's like, well, it was bad for women, and rape victims has always been bad for it's not
right.
It's not some magical time where it was only bad for black men, but it was great for everybody else.
Come on,
not
now.
To mention Bill Cosby was fucking rich and famous. Like, it's like, you know, that exception to the rule blackness, you know what I mean? Where it's like one of the cool guys, you know, it's always Bill, he can fuck our women, it's cool, you know. It's like an athlete or some shit, like OJ and shit.
Things that I said is that we have to remember, in terms of the allegations that were, that would have been coming forward in the late 60s and the early 70s, that Bill Cosby was still then, as he is now, a black man in America. And I find it incredulous to
believe some of these women were black. Okay.
Believe that none of the majority white females who are saying that something was done to them that was inappropriate by an African-American male in the late 60s and 70s, that none of them would have been believed. Because if we look back on our own history and see what was happening in those times, nothing could be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, he would have been target number one in those days, and I'd argue in these days. He would have been target number one then and is now. So it's
so funny because the target number one thing, like it subscribes to now and then, but it's only now because it's so many women. That's why he's quote unquote target number one. Also, like I said, women had oppressive conditions back then too, but she has to isolate only for black, because you can't say, well, you know, that was this particular black man had more fame and power than some random white women, that women that he preyed upon, that he picked specifically because of their lack of agency. You know, he had these women brought to him. He promised to mentor them. He got close with them, and then he pulled this shit. This wasn't, you know, Bill Cosby, you know, just randomly jumping out the bushes on women.
All right.
You know, this was Bill Cosby targeting women that he knew he would have this story, which is the story she's defending. This casting couch story would have been his defense at all times. And I believe personally that at that time in America, there's a lot of women who have been, yeah, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. I would, you know, especially once you get to the point where he's like paying them off through people and shit, where it's like, maybe the best I can get is not going to be justice. Cause, you know, this is before rape kits. Oh, this is before DNA tests.
Yes, sir.
You know, like this is 1970s.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's little shit in her argument that she's leaving out. Cause this is what you do as a lawyer. Like, you want to spend this as much as you can.
Hard for me. Personally, not speaking on behalf of Mr. Cosby, but speaking as someone who is a student of history, to think that 1, 2, 10, 20, however many women had allegations, had accusations, that they wouldn't have been heard or listened to, and that when they went to a friend or when they went to a confidant or when they went to a police department, that they wouldn't have been taken seriously enough in those days for it.
So what about the one in 2004? Okay, what about that one? Why wouldn't she be taken seriously in 2004? Yeah. That's not back in those days. Your client was still a black man.
Yeah,
right?
The DA was like, fuck it, we ain't even pressing charges.
Why was it not taken seriously?
To at least have been investigated. I'm not saying whether that's true or not. I'm saying that based on what I know.
Yeah, a lot of her shit, I'm not saying whether that's true or not, right? Because
she was paid to spin it. She's doing a good job of spinning it as much as you can. I could do this. I just have like moral fiber that would not allow me to, but I didn't go to school to do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, true. I didn't go to school to be like, hey, I know what my job is. It's going to be defending a lot of guilty people and saying what I got to say, whatever it takes. But it's very funny that, you know, she's able to say these things as a black woman, and folks are trying to run around like it's the gospel truth. You look at her mentions on Twitter, and it's all, you know, I look up to you. This is how you defend a client. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of, you know, yeah, this is what I want to be when I grow up, well informed. This is, you know, and all she's doing is just taking the same Twitter arguments that get people blocked and saying them on
YouTube
the internet.
Arguments.
Yeah.
Of our country and our country's history. And when we look back on the kinds of things that were being done then to African American males, that's hard to believe.
So if Bill Cosby had done it, basically saying if Bill Cosby had raped these white women would have had been fully empowered.
By the way, these women didn't know about each other.
No, they did not.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not even like they said, well, there's 12 of us. Let's go get him out of here. By the way, they might have if they know, but he specifically picked and preyed on the keeper individual. He didn't want this shit out that he was doing this to everybody.
So correct. Put him in jail.
I'm not talking about whether white women would have been empowered or not. I'm not doing the if was a fifth thing. What I am.
But you clearly, you just
the whole argument
is if.
right.
I'm not saying if they did it. I'm saying this is a possibility, which is also another way of saying if.
I'm saying.
Well, you're saying if.
No,
Bill Cosby,
what
if
I'm saying is that I find it incredulous that no one would have believed them enough to at least check into the story.
But you know, most rape victims don't come forward, whether it's intimate, particularly when they know the person. You do concede that point, that most people, particularly when it's intimate partner sexual assault, as opposed to some guy in a ski mask in an alley, most of them don't come forward. Most of them don't talk to law enforcement. You can see that as a fact, right?
That those are the numbers, yes.
So then it would be entirely consistent with the numbers that people would not do that with Bill Cosby, right?
No, I don't think so. Because, like I said, the numbers when you...
The rules.
Huh?
Why is the exception to this fucking
because
rule?
She's going to say he had money and he was black. And that changes everything in the study, apparently. Women act completely different when it's a black guy and he has money. Everybody knows that. Rape victims are completely different if, you know, it's completely different when it's Bill Cosby.
Look at them. Don't include any variables whatsoever. But my point, sitting back from it as the attorney.
By the way, the fact that those stats don't include the variables is kind of the point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's the fact they're just giving you the solid data of this is what the fuck is happening out there. How the variables would affect that. Like, you can make this argument for anyone who's accused of rape.
Yes, you can.
Literally. Well, the variable doesn't account for people from Georgia. My client is from Georgia. And also doesn't account for how much people weigh. My client only weighs 135 pounds. I rest my case, Your Honor. It doesn't account for people with the number 704 as their area code. Mm-hmm. See, all those areas, that could have came from any area code, this rape stuff. Mm-hmm.
Is this, why is it in 2015 when what's being brought forward is outside of the bounds and the confines of the law, that what is appropriate conversation, what suits our appetite, what drives our media is to do with this story in the public what cannot be done in the court of law? Why?
That's not a 2015 thing. That's every time.
Come on now.
I mean, same thing could be said about Polanski. Same thing could be said about Woody Allen every time he comes up. Right. Same thing could be said about R. Kelly, who just, I mean, this isn't a unique to Bill Cosby case.
No, it's not. Public opinion. People make their opinions regardless if somebody's innocent or guilty.
But what's funny,
the court of law.
What's funny is she tips her hand. This is her job. Her job is to challenge public opinion. She ain't in the courtroom right now.
No, she's not.
Her job is to go on TV and try to spin public opinion and get some sort of defense out there for Bill Cosby.
Why don't we follow the dictates of our justice system? Because, listen.
Why doesn't the public follow the dictates of the justice system? Okay, so I guess OJ, I guess George Zimmerman.
Oh, no.
I guess we just supposed to be like, hey, man, didn't get convicted. The justice system prevailed, man. We just got to not talk about it. R. Kelly, hey, man, if it's not the court of law, how can we bring it up?
All right.
Then. We're in this room right now.
Yeah.
There may be a green room here. We could take a picture in the green room after this. It could just be you and me and three assistants. I could wait 10, 20, 30 years. Wait until you've sold 20 books. You've been on however many speaking tours you're going to go on. You've made all your millions. And talk about this day.
Right.
And have my picture. And say that something inappropriate happened. And what I hear people saying is that when I come forward and do that, and it wouldn't be true because I don't think that you would do that, Mr. Hill. What I'm saying is that when I do that, what we have now is people saying, absolutely believe her.
But that's not really what's happening. If 57 people said that about Mark Lamont Hill, that's the comparison.
I believe that shit too.
You can simplify it to one person. Sure. People will go, he said, she said, one person. It happens all the time. Kobe Bryant. You know what I mean? Like, Jameis Winston. It happens all the time. People give the benefit of the doubt what he said, she said, because they don't know. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that's fair or not fair. What I'm saying is people are able to go on with their lives with one rape accusation a lot.
Yes, they are, which is sad, but yes.
Right? Like one domestic violence accusation. People do that, but 57? 35? Nah, it ain't the same.
It doesn't matter that she waited 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. She's 70 years old.
Let me ask
He's
you a question.
In his 60s.
But what if something did inappropriate happen and you did wait? Should you remain silent because you didn't say it in the moment?
People have a right to say whatever they want to say. I'm not saying.
She kills me with that statement.
She's so good.
She's very good at her job.
Oh man, this woman, she's so good at being evil. Jesus. People have a right to say whatever they want to say. That's not the question he asked. The question he asked is, if I did do it and you didn't come forward today, can you never come forward? If you didn't get the courage to come forward until 20 years, should people go, you ain't, I can't believe you?
That anyone has a right to
But it's
be
almost
muzzled.
As if you're saying they've waited too long.
They've waited too long to do anything about it in the justice
but what
system.
But what if they've been raped? Shouldn't they be able, as rape victims, to say we've been raped, even if they can't get...
The fact of the matter is people are free to say whatever they want to say. And I, because I'm a justice system believer, believe in everyone's right to say it. They can say whatever their truth is. They can bring whatever their accusation is. They can face whatever legal consequences they're going to face if what they're saying is false. And Mr. Cosby, or anyone who's accused, if it was you 30 years from now, you would have a right to vigorously defend yourself.
Absolutely.
I'm surprised, even shocked, as you said with your opening question, some people are saying, but why would you do this? And I'm like, well, I'm a lawyer.
And that is the whole fucking point.
That answers your question. She gets paid a lot of fucking money to do this, and she does it very well. And she sounds just like the hotep niggas on Twitter, the hotep niggas on Facebook. You just put a vagina around behind it, but it does not excuse that it's the same hotep fucking message.
Yeah, this is great advertising, and like for her and her brand. Mm-hmm. You know, this is good for her.
Of course.
So good, you know.
Yeah, because if that's the case, everybody wasn't clamoring for his case. Like, you know, if it was, because it's one of those things where I guarantee you pay good money, but a lot of people's like, yeah. A lot of lawyers was like, I'm standing the fuck. That's one case I do not want. I'm not fucking with that.
If I'm guilty, this is the person I want representing me.
Right.
The other thing that you know doesn't come up is. One of his law firms was like, I won't represent you.
Right.
And he had to sue them to get them to keep doing their job. Now, I don't know if she's on that team or not, but.
Right.
You know.
So that speaks volume.
Yep. Anyway.
And I think I said this in the car, you know, even after this, I hope he pays them very, very well where they can retire, because even after this, I'm guarantee you, you know, because like any other community, any other, feel it's a community. Guarantee you, people are like, I don't want to work with you. Like you
maybe,
know,
maybe I don't know. I don't think it works like that for defense lawyers. I really don't. I think it's a skill set. It's
true,
good or bad. It's like Johnny Cochran could have been an evil fucking person, but his job is to get you off.
True.
And the same way people deified Johnny Cochran, I think if she, I mean, now this is I think open shut case. I think she'll get off. You know what I mean? But I feel like in general though, this idea is people are like, well, something's gonna happen to her for doing this. No, it's not. This is what she went to school for.
True.
This is her job. There is gonna be no consequence. There's no she just went and said, I didn't, you know, basically here's the hotep shit niggas say on YouTube, and now can we decide to move on? That's it. It's not gonna work, for the record. Ain't nobody gonna stop talking about this shit. Mm-mm. But now he has a quote unquote defense out there on TV that he didn't have before.
True.
And somebody was willing to get their name and image out there.
That's great publicity.
Yeah, I mean, she got like 5,000 followers on Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, by the end of this shit, she keeps doing it, she'll probably have like 10,000 hotep niggas following her. Mm-hmm. I want to know what happens after this. Mm-hmm. When the majority of her supporters are just these fucking hotep niggas. They don't realize she defend fucking the Ku Klux Klan for lynching a nigga. They have no idea. This it's amazing, dog. If the check clears, she doing it. I don't know why people act like she's a personal hero and shit. Yeah,
so
like,
she did?
She doing her job.
Wow.
You know what I mean? What'd you say, Karen?
She did do that?
No, I said she okay. would.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
This is her job. The money is the money. It's not... Like, people are like, this sister out here is repping for blackness. No, she's not. She's doing it for the money.
Paycheck.
If the check didn't clear, she wouldn't do this shit. If the TV wasn't buzzing, she wouldn't do this shit. Her picture on Twitter right now is a picture of her on TV. Like, she know, like, she's bossing it. You know? Somebody gotta get the money off of Will, I guess.
Somebody.
Anyway, those dudes that, militia, I guess is what we're calling them, white dudes with guns, that took over the Oregon, wildlife facility.
Them Bundy dudes.
Yeah, they got some nicknames from Twitter. One of the nicknames is Y'all Cater.
Ha ha! I love Twitter.
Mm-hmm. First it was Oregon Under Attack was,
That's the one I woke up to yesterday.
Yeah, they call them angry dudes in Oregon, Y'all Cater, waging a yeehaw, and I almost died, said Atmosphere. I don't know who the first person was to use it. I kind of hate when these articles don't give you the very first person that used it.
Right.
Whatever, I guess that person's not getting enough credit. But yeah, Y'all Cater is great. I love it. There's other ones that they had that mocked them too. Like I saw something like reading is fundamental ISIS. it was a bunch of them, man. Maybe tomorrow we'll really break down what started that shit, because I have an article on that too.
Okay, we can do that tomorrow.
Yeah, and I know we're getting, we're gonna get kind of late if we keep going like this. So, let's get into. I got one more story to talk about.
Yeah, that's great. This is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, wait, and back to the Y'all Cater thing. President Obama's so good, man. He's such a patient person. Cause if that was me, I'd have droned him already, y'all. I'm like, this why, I'll never be nobody. I'll never be president. I would have droned them niggas and been doing a motherfucking press conference talking about, now see what we not gonna do.
That's how
I would have started my press conference.
Why are you not in charge?
Clapping my hands. I would have been clapping my hands like, now see what we not gonna do. Like that on a Sunday night, like that would be in, they would have been dead in a motherfucker, y'all. I would have given the green to any, let's go in, let's send the National Guard, go green. But that dude is, that's why he the man, dude. That's why he's a man. If I was them, man, I'd fucking, like, I think they should let them have it. Just keep the wildlife refuge.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think they're having problems. I don't know if you can go into this. Probably will it on. They're having problems now because schools are motherfucking been shut down. Like, can't nobody function around them because they, like, we don't want to. And now people are like, y'all niggas need to get the
sheriff
out there.
The sheriff was on TV going, get them out of our community.
Right. And it makes fucking sense because you shut shit down. Get the fuck out of here. And now they're like, all people turn on us. Y'all ain't have no business doing that. It's illegal. Goddamn illegal what you did.
Just armed motherfuckers just taking shit up. I would let them stay there and build a fence around it.
Ah!
And then I would charge tourists to watch races in the wild. Just look at them, y'all. Eating in their natural habitat. Eating venison and swigging moonshine or whatever the fuck they do up there. I don't know what they do. But I don't know. I think if you really want it to be over, though, all you gotta do is start a black militia.
Ha ha!
Like, I would do it. I'm so petty that I would start a black militia to go join the Bundy people just to make a point. But I don't want to die. I don't want to die, guys. I will make a point, but it's not worth dying.
No, it's not.
Because we know they're going to kill my black ass.
What? One to the head.
I'm never going to make it up. I'm never making it out of there. But I would love to do that. Just to be like, when they see my black ass coming, they'd be like, actually, you know what, man? We are all full is too, it's really it's too much room. People. It's not enough room.
Mm-mm. We are full to capacity.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you and these Black Panther dudes to just turn around. I don't feel that, you know, we don't feel safe anymore.
They will already know your location anyway. They'll be like, hey, we got about 15. Wait a minute. There's one of the 15.
We never make it out of the city limits.
Of course not.
As soon as I got my posse together, we be woo, woo, woo. Damn. As soon as we get to stop to get gas, we got armed niggas on the loose.
All right.
And then before we get to the next story, I gotta say, spoiler alert. So you might want to skip forward a little bit if you guys haven't seen it. But spoiler alert for The Hateful Eight.
Okay, yeah, skip forward.
Nigger. There you go. All right. Let's talk about this story. A Mexican mayor got shot to death less than one day after taking office.
This shit is insane.
Yep. Just a day after assuming her new position, Mayor Gisela Mota of the city of Tomexico, or in Morales, Mexico, was shot and killed at her house on Saturday. According to New York Times, two suspects were killed in the shooting, while three others were detained by police. The governor of the state of Morales, Graco Ramirez, said that the shooting was connected to organized crime, adding that there would be no impunity in the case of her death. The Democratic Revolution Party, to which Mota belonged, released a statement calling the mayor a strong and brave woman who, on taking office as mayor, declared that her fight against crime would be frontal and direct.
They was not trying to hear that bullshit.
Damn.
I was like, bitch, you got to go.
Grand opening, grand closing.
I know. All right.
Shit, who want that job?
Not a lot of people.
I know if I was the fucking mayor in the second, I'd be like, hey.
What is she running for? The mayor of Arrow Town? You know, Arrow, everybody died.
Yeah. If I was, I'd be, hey man, I ain't on that stopping the crime shit. I'm going to keep it real, y'all. Crime ain't never did nothing to me. They fire me within. I'd be fired in a day because I didn't see nothing. Like, oh.
Yeah, like it's really big over there.
Will you be seeking justice? No, I won't.
That's what most people do, and officers are paid, and even the people that want to do right, they're threatening, their families' lives are threatened if they try to tell it. So, yeah, a lot of corruption.
Have you met my new spokesperson? Bill Cosby's defense attorney, that can you tell the people what is going on right now? Because we are not doing this.
Right. Did she even sign a documentation? Shit, she just signed her name and went home and was, they was like, nope, you won't be signing another piece of paper.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm not dealing with it.
That's not the job for me.
Nope. I don't want to be mayor.
Mm-mm.
I'd nominate Mayor McCheese from McDonald's.
Shit, he can have that job.
Then he probably get shot by the Hamburglar.
Somebody always gonna be bad.
You know what? Why the fuck was a Hamburglar a thing in general? Like, who thought of the Hamburglar? Why would your mascot be a nigga that robs you? It doesn't even make sense. It's like having the Popeye shoplifter or something for your mascot. Like, are you trying to encourage your customers to steal? You know, the burger hamburgers, or to steal money out the register? Like, what exactly did the Hamburglar, the fuck was his purpose? He had like drug problems or something? He was stealing McDonald's from the other mascots? Ronald go out giving away free burgers to the kids and this nigga come stealing them and shit? That was a bad idea.
Yes, sir.
What was his backstory?
I don't know. Didn't they basically get rid of that character?
They tried to reboot him as a real person with a family, but I was like, this nigga's a thief.
He looks creepy. He looks like a pedophile.
And he was a thief. Even if he wasn't a pedophile, he was a motherfucking thief.
Yeah, he was.
Who's that to look up to?
Right.
A family of thief? Is he teaching his kids to steal? Is his kid stealing KFC? That doesn't make no fucking sense. The KF thief. Make sure you get up with him. All right. And he used to be like, robber. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
He'd be robbing people. Anyway, that just crossed my mind for no fucking reason.
The worst.
Let's do some fucking with black. Oh, I feel like
Nah, we've been fucked.
Let me just make sure. Let me see if there's anything on here that I want to cover. Oh yeah, I want to cover some stuff. I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I there's a couple stories on here that you know, it feels like we always get so behind because we're so fucked with. So let's do a couple.
Okay.
Just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we read and play news articles from all over the globe and we assign point values for if we've been fucked with in intervals of 25 to 100. 0 to 100. Today's contestants, everybody. Let's see. The first person that we'll put up is Lark Voorhees. Lark Voorhees says, she ain't black no more. She ain't black no more. She used to live hood. Lark Voorhees, who I believe has a history of mental illness, according to her mom. I don't know. Yeah. You know, and the way she's been acting
the same
out.
Girl who just got that divorce, so separation from her husband, right?
Yeah, and I think she also declared she had lupus in not too long ago. So, like, there's a
she
lot going
some
on with
real
her.
Real problems.
By the way, it's always weird how, like, not weird, but it's odd how, like, your crushes when you're a kid, like, everybody loved Lisa Turtle. You know, when I was coming up, it's like, oh, Lisa Turtle. What a fine black ass. I can't believe they trying to stick up with Screech. But it's just weird because you don't know these people behind, you know, closed doors. You don't know what they're going through.
And everybody grows up.
Yeah. That black woman from Ally McBeal with her fine ass, you know, she got issues, you know, you just never know. Like, you don't think of that as a crush when you're growing up. You just like, I'll just meet them and we'll be perfect. But it's like, you might meet Lark Voorhees and she might be like, all right, let's fly to Bermuda and get married. And you're like, what? Oh, we're in love. And then next week she's like, I ain't black no more. You're like, okay, I can't keep up with this.
Right.
Are you taking your medicine or not?
Right. This life ain't for me.
But yeah, she went online and she took this picture.
I don't know what she did.
And it looked like she bleached her hair blonde. And I don't know if she lightened her skin or it was just a filter or what. But she put, no, I am not black. I am American. I was born in America. I was not born in Africa, therefore I am not African. Africans are not African Americans. LV. Yeah. Then she went on to slam Cosby and Martin Lawrence. So I guess, hey, broken clocks, like, every once in a while, you know. So 0 to 100, Karen.
She get 100 for her skin.
I'm gonna say 25. For a mental illness caveat, man. She probably won't even know she said this shit in a while.
Like, won't remember it.
This might just be an episode. You know, I'm worried about her.
Hopefully, you know, she gets the help that she needs.
Not Jimmy Green, but like her mama or somebody realistic to help her out.
Jimmy Green on the beat, ho. No, we don't need you here, sir.
Yeah. Let's see. How long is this one? Oh, this is too long to cover. So she got a low score. Here's one. Tanya Pinkins issues unedited full statement detailing her abrupt departure from CSC's Mother Courage. Tony Award-winning actress Tanya Pinkins has provided Playbill.com with a complete statement detailing her decision to depart the classic stage company production of Bertolt Brecht's Mother Courage and Her Children, January 5th, 2016, while the show is still in previews. I wonder if Nick Jordan will cover this on What's the Tea. Mm. It is some stage news.
I know, right?
The classic 1939 play, which has been reset to the Democratic Republic of the Congo, began previews December 10th and was scheduled to officially open January 7th. That date will be rescheduled while a replacement for the Caroline or Change star is found. Pinkins, who won her Tony for her performance in Jelly's Last Jam, said, an early draft was leaked without my permission. What follows is an official, complete, unedited version of her statement. Who loses, who thrives when white creatives tell black stories? Woo!
Excuse me.
Uh-oh. It's about to be. Mm-mm. I can feel it.
Yeah, from that first statement.
The year 2015 saw the rise of Black Lives Matter and Black Girls Matter, both movements helmed by powerful, fearless Black women. In 2016, I'm starting Black Perspectives Matter. Twice this year, but too many times in my career, my perspective as a Black woman was dismissed in favor of portraying the Black woman through the filter of the white gaze. Regrettably, I must exit Classic Stage Company's Mother Courage. When Black bodies are on stage, Black perspectives must be reflected. This is not simply a matter of artistic interpretation. Race and sex play a pivotal role in determining who holds the power to shape representation. A Black female should have a say in the presentation of a Black female on stage. CSC's truncated version, An Hour Has Been Cut, eliminates Mother Courage and her children's backstory. The use of her cart and much of Brecht's, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, brilliant comedy on war. I mean, commentary on war. Mother Courage is the King Lear in the classical canon of female roles. Not since Caroline or Change 10 years ago have I had a role of this caliber. How do I walk away from what could be one of the greatest roles in my career? I couldn't until all my research, arguing, and pleading for my character's full realization fell on deaf ears, and then I had to. Drama follows Mother Courage, a woman who supports herself and her children by selling goods to warring armies from a cart she drags through the battle zones. Along the way, all three of her children are killed because of the war. Mother Courage is the epitome of every poor, undocumented, battered, trafficked, and immigrant woman hustling to provide for her family however she must. It's been a decade since my talent has matched the material, I thought. However, it was not relayed to me until the final tech rehearsal that the vision for this Mother Courage, the Black Mother Courage in an African war, was of a delusional woman trying to do the impossible. She would not be an icon of feminine tenacity and strength, nor of a Black female's fearless capabilities. Why must the Black Mother Courage be delusional? By the way, I noticed the low-key shade of, it's been a decade since my talent has matched the material. 10 years she's been playing beneath herself. The hashtag CSC Mother Courage poster finds my face plastered on an image of the African continent, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, highlighted. The inspiration, Lynn Notage's impulse to create a Black Mother Courage, which culminated in her Pulitzer Prize winning play, Ruin. What an opportunity to connect to Brecht's anti-World War II play to the war in the modern day Congo, Africa's first world war. My art meeting my activism, the chance to highlight the chaplain's line. If you want to sup with the devil, you need a long spoon. An analogous to America's participation in the war in the Congo through our appetites for electronic devices, which require coltan, which is raped and pillaged along with the bodies of Black women and children. This production does not include a single vestige of the specific war in the Congo. Not for me, the cultural misappropriation is unconscionable. Why must Africa, why must Blackness itself be general, a decorative motif, instead of being as specific and infinitely diverse as its reality?
Come on now.
This spring, in Rashida speaking, I was the only Black American woman in the room. Does this matter when portraying a Black perspective? Absolutely. The play purported to be about a Black woman's struggle working in a white medical office. But for the joy of performing nightly with Diane West, Patricia Connolly, and Darren Goldstein, and the talkbacks I orchestrated with Michael Eric Dyson, Dr. Kimberly Crenshaw, Professor James Peterson, and many others, it was a soul-murdering experience. It is debilitating. Explaining to non-Black people day in and day out that their conceptions of Black people are not only inaccurate, but dehumanizing and offensive.
Right!
I won an award for playing Jacqueline and Rashida speaking. Months later, people still call out Rashida when complimenting me on my performance. What they innocently forget, but I am reminded of with each acknowledgement, is that Rashida was elucidated in Jacqueline's climatic monologue in the play as the new word for nigger. So who is speaking? Despite Brecht's title, Mother Courage was not the star of this production. My subordinate position was most clearly communicated to me when I attempted to perform a task Brecht specifically wrote for Mother Courage, snatching a fur coat off an armed soldier's back. The actor, playing the soldier, argued, "I'm a man. This is war. She gotta respect that. I have to kill her." I fired back, "Brecht wrote it. Mother Courage can snatch the fur and not get killed. Brett is illustrating her as a hyena of the war. I told the actor I was going to snatch the fur coat, and if he had to kill me, the play would have to end seven scenes earlier than Brett had intended. I snatched the fur coat at the performance. The actor found a way to continue to play. However, the director said that in the future, I couldn't do it because the actor said he would want to kill you. What? Mother Courage coddled and reprimanded into submission to patriarchy? Brecht did not write a delusional woman. She wrote a woman who seizes power at every turn, who forces her way through hell, who continues in spite of every opposing force. My Mother Courage was left speechless, powerless, historyless, and even cartless. Why must images of black women be held hostage in cages of white and or patriarchal consciousness? I and many other artists of color have benefited from having honorary white status bestowed upon us for our work. Mm-hmm. This status allows us to work alongside the best in the business and be treated as equals. It is a daily struggle to partake in this status while straining to maintain integrity and authenticity to our own culture. Yet this status is often stripped when we are asked to portray our own people. Mm-hmm. So I guess she's like, when I want to play, like, they'll treat me as an equal. Like, you can play the role of this white woman in this play, that's fine. She's like, but when I am playing a black person, all of a sudden come on, you can't do that. We have to change up the script. That's, I know they wrote it this way, but that's not realistic. I am grateful to Olympia Dukakis, who has played Mother Courage seven times, for attending an early preview and giving me the permission to put my ferocity back into the role. I had not realized that the shame I was feeling was a result of having my creative cock, my virtuosic vagina, virtuosic vagina, I love that, chopped up every day. The backlash from my appropriate creative turn was immediate. One crew member complained, I just can't control her. Am I a dog or a slave to be misled so as to be controlled in my artistic expression? I was even told that the cuts related to Brecht's estate rights and permissions associated with our transportation to the Congo. Brecht's estate rights and permission associated with our transportation to the Congo. So I contacted the attorney to the Brecht estate to fight for the integrity of the text that Brecht wrote. The attorney assured me that changing the 30 years war reference to the Congo war reference was acceptable to the estate and that all such matters were artistic decisions between artist and director. Well, not this artist. My Mother Courage was neutered, leaving the unbridled Mother Courage wasting away inside me. My Mother Courage is too big for CSC's definition, so it is best that they find someone to fit in because I cannot. I recall reading Tony Kushner's translation of Mother Courage, which was sent to entice me to accept the role. The pinnacle of my career has been Carolina Change. Caroline's power reigned on every page, so I know what that power feels like, and this is not it. CSC's McDraft, ooh, the shade.
Right.
McDraft was not even from the Kushner translation. Why in 2015 in the arts is there a need to control the creative expression of a black woman? As we begin the new year, I wish for white theater creators to have the humility to recognize that their perspectives alone are insufficient when portraying black women and all others, that their manufactured fears put false black images on the stage. Mm. I believe this allows real black people to be destroyed in the world. As we enter 2016, the collective white creative community has a responsibility to bring as many others into the room, both on stage and off stage, before, during, and after decisions are made. Only then will the beauty of global humanity be heard, seen, and finally understood. So that the truth wipes away the misconceptions and misappropriations that cause the fear which foments violence around the globe. The world can no longer afford to have artistic visions of all white worlds because they simply do not exist.
Come on now.
I want the theater to look like the city streets I walk on. That is the theater I aspire to participate in, one where hashtag other perspectives matter and are respected and reflected. The CSC responded, but I don't give a fuck what y'all niggas had to say.
Show don't.
What was her name?
Show don't.
Miss Pingus? Miss Pinkins. Tanya Pinkins.
Yeah, what y'all gotta say don't matter.
She dropped that heat. Jesus Christ.
Right. She was like, I took this role because of who I was going to betray, and y'all basically tell me that I can't do this?
We just had this discussion with Chris about, you know, criticism and from black people who are also film critics and how we get kind of pushed to the side and right. Othered and shit. I just read an article not too long, yesterday, Sunday. I had to find that article, but where they were saying, what we need is not diversity. We need decolonization. And by decolonization, what they were saying, what she was saying was, it's not like even the very idea that a woman, a person of color, a person of that who is not straight equals diversity is kind of flawed, because right. what the idea is, there's still one constant that is the norm, right. which is some probably white male in most people's head. If you say picture an audience, most people will go, okay, how do I write this so that white men can get it? You know, most TV shows are based, you know, they base their ratings on what do we do in this genre between this age of white men.
18 to 35.
Yeah. There's a reason that men in Hollywood continue to get roles even when they're 50 and 60 and women stop.
Right.
Because men are writing all the parts. You know, men don't think of women that way. They don't think of them in life after a certain age. It's like, now you're a mom and you're somewhere in the house. So yeah, decolonization is the thing that you need. And I think that's what she's stressing, is like, yo, the diversity gotta be bigger than just diversity. I have a black actor, I have a black actress, because then you tell me as a white person what you think makes this role important, and it's not.
Right.
I know as a lived experience that these are not the beats that make this character good. I'm telling you what the beats are, and you taking them out because you feel like, hey, that we already handled this. We hired a black woman to play a black person or whatever. Why are we even worried about this? Or hey, it's a black person and it's in Africa. Isn't that enough? You know, it's why I care that if we get a black director for Black Panther, I want to see that.
That matters.
You know, and even still, that's not like, you know, that makes the brass at Disney black, but you know, it matters who's telling the story as much as who's in the story.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, man, Zero, I'm not fucked with it. Oh, mm-hmm. good. Mm. She took that stand.
Mm-hmm. McDraft.
Walked away from that good job. She's like, y'all keep this job.
Yeah, because she's like, I am a war. She was like, bitch, I'm not a nobody. I have won awards. I know I'm somebody. You know I'm somebody. You came to me. I'm telling you how to do this. You watering my shit down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just translating for folks that was like, what the fuck is she talking about? That's what she's saying. She was like, bitch, I'm not a nobody. Y'all basically accept me as being white until it's time not to be white. Then all of a sudden you tell me my shit don't matter.
Right.
I am not here for this bullshit, and you can get somebody to play your punk ass role, because there won't be this bitch.
I really appreciate her just taking a stand, because I mean, the thing is that you already know that one, I don't even mean this in a pun or offensive way, but you know how they say one monkey don't stop no show or whatever. Right. Like, you know that them letting her go is gonna be, it's like her leaving is just gonna be, carry on. But she took that stand, she made that statement,
and
honestly, that statement might not even be for them.
Mm-mm.
That statement might be for me and you.
Not only that statement also might be for other people.
All right.
Whenever they give her the role and she accepts it, because she's award-winning, so people will seek after her. Right. And she's like, bitch, I've been playing beneath my acting for 10 years, and I had planned to get this my all, and you thought that I was going to be subpar because you said so? And her thing was like, I'll put it like this. Bitch, I was being nice about it. I was being nice. I came to your meetings. We talked about it. We discussed. You ain't want to work with me. You ain't want to budge. I even talked to the people that originally did it to get their permission. Everybody said it was fine. But the problem is not them. The problem is you. You tried to take my character and declaw my character, take the bite out of my character, take the strength out of my character and strip my character down. And this is not what I signed up for. This is not what you promised me as a performer.
Right.
So that's the problem. I signed up for one thing. You give me something else. I tried it your way and I felt like I wasn't being truthful to myself. So the thing for me to do in this relationship is to end it, because at the end of the day, I guarantee you, whoever they get probably will not be as good as she is.
Yeah. Ah, man, look. That was a beast.
And I applaud her, because I bet you next time she get a role, she get to talking. It was like, y'all do know that I ain't got to be here.
Look, she might, I don't know what her situation is. She might never work again. I just appreciate the stance.
Right.
I appreciate taking a stand, man. Like, it's so hard to get people to take a stand. And this is why I don't advocate just any old body stepping a foot into, you know, activism or taking a stance or whatever. Cause she knew what she wanted to say. She articulated it. She took a stand on her own. She didn't have to be guilt tripped into that shit. And she expressed what she wanted to say perfectly. And I identify with all that shit. Like, props to you.
Right. Cause she basically, it was her thing. She tired of playing these women.
Yeah.
That don't have strength. Don't
Maybe it's
have
for
power.
The next black girl. You know, right. Think about that. You know, I forget that girl who was, I already forgot her name, but she's an actress, she's young, she just played, she was like the first black woman to play like Cinderella or something on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember her name now. Whatever that young girl was, and she was giving some racist, I don't know, like the new black, racism is all in your mind, I don't see race shit. Yo, I hope she reads that.
Come on now.
You know what I mean? Someone in the chat know who we're talking about, but, you know, I hope she reads that, you know, because her thing was, I mean, she was stepping into Broadway going, black people need to just let go of this concept. I mean, race doesn't really matter. I mean, you just don't, you know, I'm not going to let it hold me back and shit. And you're like, sis, you can be black. Yeah, Kiki Palmer. I knew somebody knew. Yeah, sis, you can be black and still proud of that shit and still understand what racism is and still expect to be treated well. Like, this ain't mutually exclusive. We not out here just making it up. Just because you cross the color barrier don't Come mean on. That it's a wrap for everybody.
Right, just because you quote-unquote on the other side don't mean that the shit ain't real.
Yeah, we need to be, we holding on to it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. Props to her. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. All right, let's wrap this bad boy up with some Guess the Race.
Cool, let's do it.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Ba-da-ba-ba.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race, and the chat room is racist. All right, and today's Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's cold, and I know you're growing them beards, but you gotta keep it. You gotta get up under that neck, dog. Mm-hmm. Gotta get all that stuff up off your face. You wanna get it smooth, man. That's what they like. Ain't nobody gonna go out with you and you looking all messed up with them bumps on your face and stuff. Bevel's trying to help you out. Order it now, man, so it'll be here way before Valentine's. Get your shaving situation correct now. Go ahead and get your system and your routine in order so that when it's Valentine's Day, you looking like $1 million because you been done got yourself situated. Okay? Just trying to help you out, man. Bevel is a system that is designed FUBU. For us, by us. All right? So make sure you guys do that, man. Code TBGWT at getbevel.com is how you get 20% off your first month. That's GETBEVEL.com, and it's code TBGWT to get 20% off of that first month.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's some Guess the Race, guys. Hope you're ready to get racist. An Oklahoma City was arrested on Monday for criminal complaints of sexual misconduct with clients, many of whom said they were coerced into giving sexual favors in return for cutting fees for delivering court papers. That's right. He was given discounts for sexual favors.
Wow.
The old Cosby. Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation agents arrested Robert Walsh, 24, on suspicion of sexual battery of at least four women, including fondling, kissing, or hugging them against their will. One client said Walsh, who serves legal documents related to court cases to people, refused to let her leave his office, and another said she was forced to perform oral sex. Yeah. Oh, you want half off of this thing? You have to suck my dick? Mm-mm. And I'm locking the door and you can't leave.
I paid a fucking fee. Nasty ass dick in my mouth.
That's how much people need divorces, by the way. You know, when you really hate a motherfucker, you can't go back home. It's like, I guess I'll suck this dick. Yeah. Fuck that.
Right. And not telling me, I don't have a penis, but who won't somebody suck on their penis and they don't really want to be there? Is it enjoyable? I would assume it not. They're probably using their teeth and shit because they don't want to be there.
Have no idea, and I never want to know. Don't want my dick inside of no unavailable mouth.
Right. They don't want to be there because, you know, ugh.
Like, at that point, you just getting off on the, that must be your thing.
Right. And
that's, they don't want to do it.
That stuff becomes powerful because you go, well, you know, I not like it's going to be enjoyable to her because it's unwilling.
He was booked in the Cleveland County Jail on four counts of sexual battery, one count of forcible oral sodomy, one count of kidnapping, three counts of engaging in or soliciting prostitution, and one count impersonating a public officer. Well, I tell you what, LeBron James needs to sit out some games. That's the only way we're going to really get this guy in prison. Agent said the assaults began January 2015. Damn, y'all just locked him up? Jesus. Mm-hmm. Ooh, some of the women found, y'all be wondering why women don't come forward.
Right.
A year, nigga. Some of the women found his number from roadside signs advertising cheap divorce. These women were typically low income and needed a divorce to get out of a bad situation.
Right.
So he's taking advantage of women. It's like, oh, so you getting beat? Well, you definitely can't come home.
Right.
Zip.
So he, that's one of the things where they purposely target women. Yeah. Like, specifically
they prey
poor,
on certain type of women,
right? Particularly that's, poor women that they know can't do nothing, don't have the financial means to really fight.
That's what predators do. The arrest comes at about a month after an Oklahoma City ex-police officer was at the host call. Anyway, guess the race of Mr. Robert Vincent Walsh, who
doesn't look too happy in that photo.
Yeah, I would not want to suck that dick.
Right.
Host called Cuzzo half white, half Japanese. Oh, come on. You know it only counts as white. One who drinks milk with dinner. Chief moonshine maker and cousin banger for y'all cater white. Oh. The color of the teeth. The color of the teeth he prayed would not find their way to his member. Oh. He would have impersonated an officer for free. Blowjobs were a bonus. White. Wanted to join the Oregon Yeehaw, but was waiting on his government check. White. Dog kisser white. White men continue that tradition of rape and financial exploitation. The correct answer is, and all you guys got it correct, he was a white man. How'd you guys know?
Right.
Good job, everyone.
He don't look happy in that picture at all.
Yeah. No. Oh, it had to be some scary dick sucking.
Right, some angry dick sucking because he don't look happy.
No thanks.
No, thank you.
But yeah, you know, that's what they do. They pick those desperate people and shit, and you know, who knows when the first person came forward, but it took a year for this mother to even go to jail.
Right, people did.
He's not even convicted. This is just going to jail.
Right, he picking people who probably scraped up their lives dime just to even pay the fucking fee.
Well, see, you have to solve for the variables, Karen. See, in my car's case, he may have been accused of these things, but even those stats that they go by, they don't account for him having an underbite. So when you throw that variable in there, can we really say that these four women are accusing him of inappropriateness and they're not extorting him?
Mm-mm.
That this was not a casting couch situation, that they weren't offering their services for discounts on this divorce stuff. You know how women present that all the time. You know how sometimes you walk in places and you like, this costs so much, and then women be like, what if I suck your dick for half off? You know how that happens every single day of your life. You know.
Variable D's hotel.
Anyway, I'm a lawyer and that's why I said that. Rod owns Karen on YouTube.
Yeah. That's one way people talk about the podcast.
Bensonville man charged with sexual assault of handicapped brother-in-law.
Oh.
That's evil. That's just pure evil. A Northwest suburban man accused of sexually assaulting his mentally handicapped brother-in-law has been ordered held on $350,000 bond. John Kegelski, 76, was charged with criminal sexual assault, according to a statement from the DuPage County State's Attorney Office. Kegelski shares a home with several family members, one of whom requires a live-in nurse, and his 60-year-old mentally handicapped brother-in-law. About 9:30 a.m. Tuesday, the nurse went to the basement of the home and found Kegelski sexually assaulting his brother-in-law. Oh, she immediately contacted authorities. Oh, damn, that nurse had to see that. Oh, it's not what you think.
It's not what you think. What?
Thought I was a donkey. My penis is out of control. Judge Richard Russo set bond at $350,000 in court Thursday. And he's next scheduled to appear in court January 11th. Guess the race of John Kegelski. Man, what? That is the grossest. This is like any hole would do. And in the basement. I mean, he knew what he was doing was wrong. Sourdough baguette. I don't know what race that is. Are those white?
I'm assuming.
String this white man up by a hook through his heel strings. Jesus, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Sounds painful. One from a single branch family tree. Brother-in-law took his woman. All up in the family. White Muslim, White Castle butt burglar, White Drip Van Winkle, White. The last name was too many syllables. White inbred redneck. The correct answer is white. Damn. Oh,
somebody got it wrong.
Somebody got it wrong?
They said Muslim.
That's not a race.
Oh, Muslim ain't a race?
Nah.
Okay, my bad.
I mean, this is a religion. Who said Muslim? Did I read that in this?
Yes, you did read that.
Who said that?
Let's all go crazy.
I don't remember that. Muslim said Panthers 15-11. Oh, that's just Pop's son. You can kick him out. But yeah, that's not what's going on. Anyway, let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, everybody's all over the place. But, you know, we'll see where you guys end up. Because, you know, it's getting close. All right. Let's go to this guy. By the way, that last dude, that was an evil brother fucker.
Ah! Am I my brother's keeper?
He was, actually. Trusted. California mom dies after running into her burning home to save her dogs, who had already safely escaped.
I know that's terrible. She didn't hear him barking or nothing.
She must have thought there were some hot dogs. Yeah.
Them dogs was cooked.
A woman died after running into her burning home to save her dogs, who had already made it to safety on their own. Laura Dowd, 48, of Minkler, California, had run out of her mobile home on Saturday after it caught fire shortly after midnight and called 911 shortly. Dowd, her mother, told the operator that her pets are still inside the property. Fresno County Fire Battalion Chief Mike Bowman said the operator told Dowd not to attempt to rescue her pets.
Right.
Bowman added that other calls to 911 informed firefighters that she had rushed back inside. However, as firefighters attempted to go after her, the walls of the mobile home began collapsing as they entered, making rescue impossible.
Oh.
And the pets Dowd had been so desperate to save had already escaped without her knowing. Benny Woods, a neighbor, said his wife had seen the flames go up in the mobile home where she had actually grown up. He told ABC 30 that he had tried to save Dow by breaking the windows and calling her name, but it was too late. They told her not to go back to the house multiple times. She said that she was worried about her dogs in there, he said. Unfortunately, her dogs were already outside and apparently didn't know it, and unfortunately went out there for no reason.
Wow.
Dow's pets included two dogs called Daisy and Dakota and a cat called Digby, and they have now been taken in by her family.
The animals are smarter than her.
Daisy spent the morning after the fire searching through the charred rubble of her burned down home. One of her friends, Susan Chapel, said, paid tribute to Dow, saying she just lit up every room she ever entered. She loved her pets, she loved her children, she loved her family. She had children and family, and she's still ran in there. An investigation into the case, cause of the fire is ongoing. It's a tragic situation. It's too bad for this rural community. We see these happen all too often. Trailer fires. I wonder if it was like Christmas lights or some shit.
Just died to fire. Yeah.
At any rate, guess the race, guys. Yeah, chat guess room. The race. Let's see here. We got wouldn't save her freshly adopted Ethiopian child before her dogs. Aww. Obviously the dogs weren't thinking about her. That made her feel worse. White as the new owners, who these dogs will just love just as much because they don't know the damn difference. Country music classic, My Dog, My Love, White. mobile home was the family homestead, TPT White. Was surprised the fire almost separated her from her pets and not Tornado White. All in one mobile home, moved her kids out to make more room for the pets, White. This is one of those long ones, White. Yeah, her friend did say she lit up every room. Yep, that is true.
Yeah, I bet she did.
After she died in the fire, yep. Oregon Bundy, White. So the correct answer is, and that's right, guys, White. She was a white woman. Look at her. Dead over some dogs, man. Mm-hmm. It's like the whitest way to die. Well, she's kissing her dogs in the mouth in heaven now. Mm-hmm. all dogs go to heaven. We all know that. Sore ratchet this time. Dead.
Mm-hmm.
A Spokane neighbor gets out Klingon sword after trash dispute. Did we already cover this one?
I don't know, but ain't them to live, Klingon swords live long going and prosper? Around?
Huh?
Them to live long and prosper.
Yeah. This, well, Klingon, no, that was our, no, Klingons are different.
Oh, okay. But I'm thinking the Star Trek, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Star Trek, Star Trek had the fight where like they used to have like Spock and fucking Kirk fighting shit, and they would have that fucking that music and shit.
Yes.
Can you believe this is the pass for action?
Yes, sir.
We would not let this happen in 2016.
Oh, they're not even showing some of the hits.
I know. They doing their own stunts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You ain't getting no stunt man back in the day. So you better hope Bob don't hit you.
So, yeah. this shit happened. Yeah. In Spokane, where a 50-year-old
Spokane man is facing an assault charge after his neighbor claims he attacked him with a sword.
Lindsay Nadrich spoke with the man's wife, who tells us a very different story tonight. Lindsay?
Take your time, Lindsay. Ain't nothing to do. You know how it is, player. By the way, this,
charged with assault.
By the way, that wasn't us freezing.
Oh,
that was
her real time, her not responding.
The news, yeah. The news was taking that long.
Was here in court today. Court documents say he used a Klingon sword, which is one that has several blades, to attack his neighbor after they got into a fight about garbage.
And then he came into our house a day before yesterday and tried to break into our house again. And my husband defended us, and now he's in jail.
For me, come in the house. Going on. Joyce Cerruti invited us into her home to tell us exactly what happened that landed her husband, 50-year-old Carlos Cerruti, in jail.
Our next-door neighbor was evicted, and he was throwing his stuff in our garbage can. So I went and got it, and I put it in a garbage bag, and I took it to him, and I said, Junior, would you please not put your stuff in my garbage can?
Cerruti says it only escalated from here.
I turned around, and he hucked the bag at me and hit me in the back with it. And then he started throwing garbage all over my yard.
That's when she says she went inside to tell her husband what was going on.
So our door opened, and Junior was coming in our house. So he grabbed that up there and tried to push him out. And he pushed him out and locked the door and told me to call police.
This whole saying that your husband attacked him with a sword, that's just not what happened.
It's crap.
Cerruti says her husband did grab the Klingon sword off the wall. They showed us a picture of what it looked like. She says he did swing it at the neighbor, but says it was only after he barged into their home.
For the last 8 months, he's been escalating to more and more violence.
We spoke with another neighbor off camera who says she saw the whole thing unfold, but refused to speak out about it because she says she's afraid of retaliation from the neighbor who claims he was attacked. Mm.
Another long delay.
I also asked Cerruti why her husband was arrested and not the neighbor she says started the whole thing. She told me she thinks it has to do with the fact that he does have past criminal charges, but says her neighbor does as well. Reporting live tonight, I'm Lindsay Nadrich, KREMT News.
Yo, that one neighbor need to move the fuck out of there. The one that's a witness, she got to leave. These motherfuckers crazy. This has been the Blackout Tips, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. It's a bit longer of an episode for us too, but we had a good time. Welcome back to work, everybody.
Yeah, first day back at work. My first day is tomorrow.
Hopefully there were no skips in this episode. People told me they were hearing skips for some reason.
Yeah, I hope not.
I'm assuming that was the upload.
Yeah, it may have been,
because all the premium shows I uploaded, nobody reported any skips.
Right, so it might be maybe
Stitcher, iTunes. I don't know.
Right, it was cutting up on some of the episodes.
Either way, let me know.
Yeah, let us know, so you know if it's something on our end, we can try to correct it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.